For 3 years now, we have assaulted your ears with video game reviews, hackneyed banter, nerd laughter, poop jokes, lawnmower repair, birth announcements, other people's interpretations of still yet other people's music, general mayhem, and other various and sundry. 3 entire years. That's a long-ass time. From the bottom of our hearts, many thanks to the 6 of you who listened to us. May your tribe increase and your plowed lands remain fertile.
I was like, I just got 2 achievements. Let's be happy.
Yay.
Let's pump it.
He's just going to play.
Time for a podcast.
Can't talk.
Well, let's see here. It's 8:18.
What the fuck is going on?
You guys have me for maybe like 20 minutes?
All right, let's get the recording.
Right. What's up, everyone? This is Joe.
I'm Chris.
I'm Pappy.
And this is the SML podcast. And Chris is calling from where are you tonight?
Atlantic City.
He's drunk right now.
No.
He has all the strippers, lots of cocaine.
Also no.
But he had some tofu for dinner.
Hey.
Actually, no, I didn't. I had minestrone soup and some rice and mixed vegetables. Yeah.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Oh shit.
Third anniversary of our show.
3 years.
Which means Pappy's been doing this for about 4 weeks.
18 months. The traditional gift is leather, but the modern gift for third anniversary is crystal or glass.
Leather.
I got you my glass heart.
I'm more interested in the leather.
Yeah.
We're going to get some bondage shit going on.
I'm looking forward to 4th anniversary. That traditionally, it's fruit or flowers. In modern, it's appliances. So we get you a... if everyone gets a fruit fucker, that hits both...
A fruit fucker?
Happy anniversary. Here's a blender. Aww.
I was just going to say that. Listen, fuck.
I want a blender, so if you guys want to get me a blender...
No, I want a Vitamix.
Vitamixes.
Yeah, I just don't have $800 for a fucking blender.
Right? They're fucking nuts, dude.
So Shiz is here.
Hi.
We might have other people joining through the show. I don't know. We had all these plans, and then they all fell apart about a half hour ago.
I think we should still just make Joe go through the archives and make a best of for our third anniversary.
No.
That shouldn't take too long.
That will never happen.
We'll make Zach do that.
The only time that will ever happen is if we like nominate a quote unquote fan to do it.
I mean, or you start giving me a paycheck, I'll do it.
No,
listen, you couldn't pay me enough to go through all of our old podcasts and find a best of.
I would do a best of and intentionally leave Joe out of it.
Probably.
So we would have
Tim and all of the guests doing funny things. And
Bogue.
You know, coming in.
I was going to say, don't forget Bogue.
And it would just be, the only thing you would hear from Joe is, what's up, everybody? And that would be it for the whole episode.
You don't even need that, because in the earlier episodes, Tim is the one who started off.
No, because people hear your voice and they know, okay, we're kicking off the episode. So
she just got real.
Tim used to start it, so it was completely different before.
Yeah, but that
back
was
in the day.
Year, right? How long was Tim part of it before he dropped?
Like, what, like
50, 60
months?
Episodes?
So like a year.
I don't know.
Yeah, almost a year, yeah.
Eh, something like that.
Close enough.
He was intermittent near the end.
Yeah.
Like my love for you, intermittent.
Oh.
So, Chris, we only have you for about 20 minutes, so what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing a lot of Hearthstone because of the traveling.
Games, right?
Yeah, well, no, I don't want to say a lot of mobile games, because it's pretty much just been the one. But there's enough to do in Hearthstone that, like, you know, depending on how you're playing it and what you're doing in the game, you can get more than enough, you know, time out of it while you're on the go. Because for me, even just going through, like, I got the expansions that you can go through, like the single player adventures, so that you can unlock more cards and all that kind of stuff. I did those while I was out and about, and those are good. Just kind of like sit down, you know, maybe play for 5 minutes, or you can sit and you can like play for hours if you can't, you know, if you want to as well. So I did those, and they're relatively cheap. The expansions were like $20 a piece maybe, and there's like two or three of them. And with how many hours of gameplay I got out of it, I think it's well worth it. And, you know, instead of doing the whole like traditional TCGs like Magic or Yu-Gi-Oh or something like that, you know, the one thing that's the biggest pain in the ass is when you have physical card inventory. So at least with this, like, I don't have to worry about like boxes and boxes of fucking cards like there are currently in my storage unit with Magic card.
That's my card patience.
So, I mean, it's fun. I like that there's at least like a crafting system. So like some of the cards that I've seen other people use, I'm like, oh my God, these things are ridiculous. How do I get them?
Crafting?
Crafting. So you could take
shit out a really nice card.
You could take extra cards that you're not using or that you don't want. You can break them down into crafting materials and then use those crafting materials to make the cards that you don't have.
Yay.
So I think it's fun. I've been doing that, and then I played a little bit more Blood Bowl.
I was gonna say we should probably get you to give us a more official stance on Blood Bowl.
Well,
since we forgot to do that last week.
I know we forgot to do it last week. We weren't in the correct mindset to do that.
We were all tripping balls.
Me especially.
It's not.
So Blood Bowl 2,
hold on. I forgot to do Blood Bowl 2, developed by Cyanide Studios, published by Focus Home Interactive. It released back on September 22nd, and it was originally $49.99. I think it's hovering closer to $39.99 right now, but it's in the same ballpark. Depends where you buy it.
Yeah, and obviously this is the type of game that, you know, you can technically get a disc version of it, but I would implore, if you're going to get it, get the digital version, because it's the kind of game that, like, if you're going to get like really hardcore into it, because you could do online leagues and stuff like that. If you do that, you're going to want to just be able to boot it up whenever you can. Disc versions, you know, you're not really getting that much of a discount on it. If you wait for when it goes on sale, it was down to like $20, wasn't it before?
I think 25 around the holidays.
Yeah, yeah, it all depends on when you look it up, but you will definitely get your money's worth out of it. It's essentially the digital version of the tabletop board game. So it plays exactly like the tabletop board game, but you don't have to worry about buying a bunch of figures, which is kind of nice. I was playing the tabletop version for a very long time. You know, you don't have to worry about like spending $80, $90 on like a set of figures, and then
so
getting them painted.
It's similar to Hearthstone, where you have, it's very similar to the real life thing. There's just less physical shit to worry about.
Right. It's kind of nice. I've been very adamant on getting like digital versions of board games that I like, just because, like, dude, you don't have to fucking worry about the pieces. Like, you know, like you don't have to worry about like losing shit.
So,
like,
have you played enough to make a decision what your favorite race is yet?
I already know. Well, from playing the game before, I already know that my favorite starter one is the Chaos team. So, and here's why.
Blood
though.
For the Blood Throne. Blood for the Blood God, sorry.
Here's the thing for me. Each class, they have different types of characters that you can use that have different types of abilities and stats and all that kind of stuff. You essentially fill up your roster, and you hire on players with those types of abilities and stats to round out your overall team. The basic players that you can get for the Chaos team, I think your basic, like, just you know, run-of-the-mill general type of person, has a common ability called Blitz. So basically, when you have most players on a turn, you either choose to throw a block or you can move. If you move and then you want to throw a block, you have to you do what's called a Blitz. You can only do that once per turn. The basic unit, when you blitz, it gives you a +1 to your strength. So the majority of the time, like if you're just taking out like a single target, you're almost always getting a 2-die block. So it's really advantageous. I like just kind of like keeping a couple of them back just as like extra, like safeties almost, so to speak. And then just if one guy starts making their way to the end zone, I'll just like just one guy run after him and just take him out.
So what it's you got chaos, you got humans, or is it
orcs? There's a bunch.
And now is it humans or is it like humans and orcs and elves, or elves their own team? Or like I said, I'm very familiar with Warhammer, but I've never played Blood Bowl.
So Blood Bowl is essentially in the same exact universe as Warhammer. It uses pretty much the same types of like races and classes and all that kind of stuff. However, like the backline of it is they found an NFL like rule book in the future in Warhammer universe.
How many different types or team types are there? You've got chaos.
I don't have an official. I don't remember the official number because I don't have anything in front of me. I'm literally like getting ready for the show.
Hey, Pappy, look it up.
So I'm giving her prompts, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm asking the guy who's about to perform a concert.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly how many are in the newer version, but from what I can recall from playing the tabletop version, I want to say it's in the 20s.
There's 8 for Blood Bowl 2. Humans, orcs, dwarfs, skaven, which are rat people.
Yep.
Dark elves, chaos, Bretonnia. So they just threw up a human country, and high elves. So there you go. There's your
basic. Does
that
include the DLC?
Yeah. So the basic game, you get like, what is it? Humans, orcs. You might just get humans and orcs. I don't remember. Start. Now I got the PC version of the older version, the Cyanide Blood Bowl, that was on PC. Like I got the PC version a while back, the Chaos Edition, I think, or something like that. I forget what the name of it was, but that has like all of the teams and stuff like that. So if you're really getting into it and you want all the teams, I'm assuming they're going to eventually have all of the teams come over. They're probably just like programming them, because I would imagine that they're not going to fully support the older version in comparison to the newer version. And then the other thing that I was kind of curious on, but I didn't really have, like, I didn't look it up yet, is if there's crossplay for some of the tournaments for PC and Xbox One. Because there's obviously a PC version, there's an Xbox One version, since Microsoft is kind of like, you know, trying to do the whole Windows 10, Xbox One, we're a happy family thing.
I don't believe there is any crossplay. If anything, any crossplay stuff Microsoft is doing is Windows 10 and Xbox One, okay. Not just PC.
Well, I'll tell you, Shiz, if you want to play an online game and lose a lot, just challenge Chris to some Blood Bowl.
Sounds like it.
Blood Bowl, see. Now, it's one of those things where it took a while for me to understand it, but once you get it, it actually makes, like, a lot of sense. I didn't really think I was going to like it as much as I did, because originally when I picked it up, and, my first impressions of Blood Bowl were actually the Xbox 360 version of the very first digital version of Blood Bowl, and I fucking hated it.
Same here. I bought it on a friend's recommendation, and I played it for a solid hour or two, like to try and get it down, and I was like, no, fuck you.
There's a lot of information that gets thrown at you really, really fast. Yeah. And if you don't have any background whatsoever on how it works, you're gonna be completely lost really, really quick. Now the one thing that I kind of like that they did with the newer version is when you first start the game, it pretty much forces you into a tutorial that explains at least the very, very minimal, like, bare bones, like, here's how the game operates. Like,
yeah. I'm so you're not completely lost.
Yeah, I'm looking at the strengths and weaknesses, and with the chaos, the weaknesses, like, yeah, none of their players could specialize in passing, catching, or runs, or dodging. Yeah, just forget the ball and look for fights.
Well, see, and that's the thing.
Like, Chaos doesn't play Blood Bowl. They're just there to kill people.
Well, see, here's the thing. Chaos, and now you can essentially, like, give people stats to make them a specific type of player. Like, they don't start with them. They don't start with those types of abilities right off the bat. However, I remember doing like a tabletop version, like a tabletop league, and I was playing Chaos, and I ended up specifically making one guy that was my runner. Like, I gave him essentially, as you do things with a particular character, he'll gain experience or hero points, I think. And when you gain a certain amount of them, then they level up and they can learn a new, like they gain a new skill. So essentially, over the course of a league, you could dump a lot of your, like, make one guy your star. That's what it is, star player points. So you can make one of your guys, like, your star player and just make him fucking do everything, and just dump, like, just put make him essentially carry the team. But
yeah, weren't you saying you murdered one, like, on round one?
Exactly. Literally, the first tournament I ever played in, I was hopping into a tournament replacing another player because they dropped out. And the first game, first play, I killed the opposing player's star player. Like, like in that season, he was dumping, like, he was having him do everything. So whenever you get, like, touchdowns, or whenever you, like, complete a catch, or, you know, whenever you do something advantageous, you'll get these star player points. He, like, his whole team was pretty much, like, really, really basic, and this one guy was totally stacked. And I just straight up murdered him first play. And when you kill, like, there's different varying degrees of how bad someone gets injured, but when you kill a player, they're dead. They're gone. Literally all of the stats and all of the things that he did to that player, gone.
Jeez. So how pissed was he?
Oh, he was furious. It was great.
Did he quit and storm out? Like, fuck this game, I'm out of here.
No, he finished the rest of the game, but he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was well, really,
hopefully
really
he learned his lesson, and, you know, next tournament he split the abilities a little bit.
He never came back.
And that's the thing with Blood Bowl. I mean, once you learn the mechanics of the game, you can play that game so many different ways. And that's why there's so many different, like, races and factions and stuff to play as. Because, like, literally when I play the game, like you said, with Chaos Team, like, I just run up and I just hit whoever has the ball. Like, all
but then
the
you got, like, if you're up against Skaven, you might have, if you don't position your characters properly, then they're
then
just going to run,
just run
up
right past me.
Yep. So, you know, you may be like, oh, I can take on anybody. But if you don't use the basic strategy of placing your characters
right,
it doesn't do shit.
And that's the thing. Like, you have to make – because, like – and it all depends on the other team that you're playing. That's why, like, it's advantageous to, you know, level up certain characters so that they can can essentially, like, play to your weaknesses and try and negate them.
Yeah.
And then just make the best, like, all-around – team for your playstyle.
Yeah, if you're Chaos, it wouldn't hurt to have one guy who's a little faster than normal, just in case. Or if you're playing a Skaven, maybe have at least one player who can take a hit.
Yeah, basically.
So basically, where the 360 version failed, the new version excels?
Well, now let me get back to that. So when I played the 360 version originally, the way it was presented, I didn't really have, like, I didn't know what I was getting into. I just looked at it and I'm like, oh, maybe this will be like Mutant League Football or something like that. And because I wasn't familiar with the tabletop game at all. And I should have known better by looking at the bottom of the thing and seeing Games Workshop, but, you know, I'm a dumbass. So,
nothing is simple when they do it.
Exactly. So when I sat down the first time, and I don't know if it was particularly how the tutorial was presented, but I got lost really, really fast. I don't know. I can't really say how much better the tutorial is now in comparison to the old one because it's been a while and I already know how to play the game. So when I was going through the tutorial, I was kind of like, well, yeah, duh. Like, but anybody.
So you can't really say else, if like, the tutorial is better for newbies or not.
I could say, I will say that it's better, but I don't know by how much. Because because the new one, at least, like, it kind of takes it in waves a little bit. Like, it has you do one tutorial where it's just like, here's how you move shit, and here's why you can only move this many spaces, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then the next one, it's just kind of like, okay, now you have to understand that every single player has different stats because this guy can, like, one-shot you. Like,
Is it still, though, like, when you start initially, you only get humans and orcs, and you have to kind of unlock the rest?
Well, see, now, I bought the Chaos team because I knew that that's the team that I like. So I don't really know if there's a way to try every team before you buy them. I'm not sure. There might be. Okay. So if you're not entirely sure about like the play style of a team before buying them, just like look up some videos and just see like what the basic strategy is and see if that's what you'd be comfortable with.
Or just get the Chaos team and murder everything.
Yeah. So we can basically
get the Chaos team on my recommendation and kill everybody.
As someone who's played the tabletop, you definitely enjoy the digital version and recommend it.
Absolutely. Mainly just because even just for me, I mean, shit, look at my schedule. Like, my schedule is kind of, like, retarded. So if there was any possibility of me playing in a league, I'd only be able to do the digital version and not the tabletop version. So at least for people that like the tabletop version and might not have time to really take it seriously but want to take it seriously because they enjoy it, the digital version, like, 100%, like, that's the way to go. If you're curious about the game and you just want to learn how to play it and you want to go into the tabletop thing, it's like the best thing ever because it's going to show you a lot of the times when you're playing the tabletop version, you don't really know, like you could get things wrong where it's like, oh, this person's supposed to have, you know, you're supposed to use this many dice for this character going against this character. Whereas the digital version, like literally it's going to do it for you. Like there is a lot of like math and like a lot of skill, like a lot of, rules to take into account. So sometimes when I've played the tabletop version, like there'd be one or two things that we would miss. And it's not like myself and the player that I'm playing against, it's not like we did it on purpose. It's just, there's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've tried a 40K game once or twice and you know, it's 3 hours of setup for 15 hours of gameplay for one damn fight.
Exactly. And even just for the tabletop version, like you have to roll for everything. Like just the weather, like, and
yeah,
like ball placement and
did I turn an like, ankle while starting my turn?
Yeah, like
am
like,
I wearing like, a cup roll?
Like it's
one.
Basically stuff like
fuck.
It's stuff like that where it's like, you know, it's still at its core, it's a tabletop game, so you still have to make rolls for everything when you try and do something.
But it's still, there's just the amount of rolls. Like the only game I've ever played that came close to the just amount of fucking things you have to roll for was MERPS, Middle Earth Roleplay. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, if you would in combat, you'd roll to get, you know, to hit, roll to get hit, and then if you get hit, you gotta roll to see where you hit. Roll to damage, and then roll to see where you hit, and then do an additional roll to see if you did anything extra based on where you hit them, and then you find the table for the damage amount and see if that adds. Like, I mean, it's, you know, in D&D when it's like, I parry him and I stab him in the throat. Okay, you succeed, roll damage, 10, done. Middle Earth, it's like a 50 fucking step process.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. Like,
everything
you'll have
Games Workshop does is like that. They make it a fun game if you're into it, but they don't make it a simple game.
Right. There is always a lot of stipulations and a lot of like happenstances that you'll run into. So
Blood Bowl, the game, is a lot more accessible than Blood Bowl, the physical tabletop game.
100 times, yes. Like if you're even just like curious about the game at all and you want to learn how it's played and you want to give it a shot, the digital version is infinitely the way to go.
Nice.
So, but there's a single player campaign. You've got like an actual like story mode, so to speak. And that's kind of tied in with the tutorial as well. And then you have like online leagues and all that kind of stuff. So it essentially, because it's a modified it's a modified board game. You technically have like infinite amounts of replayability. It just matters if you want to play someone real or if you want to play a computer. Like, so you never really have to worry about like, will this game, you know, eventually run out of its charm? Because you're essentially just you're playing football. Like, so it's the same kind of concept.
Turn-based strategy, violent, bloody football.
Yes, exactly.
It's a slower version of NFL Blitz with fantasy elements.
It's way slower.
So it's more like real football with how slow it can get at times.
It can be. Well, I mean, because it's turn-based.
Another
like,
rushing
you know,
play, 2 yards.
Because it's turn-based, and it's turn-based based on each player, too, like you're essentially like, this person makes his movement, this person makes his movement, this person makes his movement. It takes a bit for a turn, so you have to be patient. But if you have the attention span to actually put into it and, like, take it seriously, it's a lot of fun. It's good.
That's the exact impression I got when I saw it.
Like, well, I'm glad that I was
accurate. That's why I didn't get it, because I'm not patient at all.
What? Like, Shiz isn't patient?
If it's not done in 17 seconds, it's stupid.
If I can't pick up and play in the midst of blinking twice, then fuck this game.
But if I can get basically all the achievements in 17 seconds, I don't want to even hear it, bro.
How That's long hilarious. Of a completion is it, Chris?
No, but it does look really cool. No,
I didn't.
Now
I didn't,
I'm really, really interested in playing it. I'm not gonna lie.
I didn't complete it. I'm not entirely sure. Because it all depends on, like, there's a lot of different factors that can go into play. So it's, I don't know if I can really, like, even average it out.
I'm sure Shiz has a spreadsheet on his computer of, like, well, this game takes this much time. Is it going to be worth it? Let me, like, calculate how much streaming time I have this week. Well, it's a 25-hour completion to get 1,000 out of 1,000.
Yeah,
I've got 4 hours
for me.
4 hours to stream today, 4 tomorrow. It's going to take longer than a week, so it's not even worth my time. I'd rather pour another 400 hours into Isaac.
1,813 Shark gamers have this game. 13 have completed it. So.
Holy fuck.
Yep.
13.
So, you know, about 5 hours, probably.
There you go, Shiz. You could be number 14.
There you go. Was that the exact number you gave me before when I mentioned Guys Cave? How I
it's
to
a
be 12. Number one? Well, it's okay. Close enough.
Close enough.
Yeah, close.
That's really funny. Yeah, really, it really totally just depends on, I mean, I would say it depends on how much you're willing to spend on it and how interested you are. Mainly for me, like, I would pay as high as, like, $45, $50 for it.
Okay.
Because if you're into it, you're going to put the time into it and justify it.
You will get your time. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You will absolutely.
But if you're on the fence, it sounds like you might want to find a friend who's got it or even just go to a tabletop version and kind of get an idea of how it's played before you drop the money. Yeah.
Or wait until it's on sale. If it's something that you're like, I would say, even if you're just curious about it, when it goes down to like 20, because I'm pretty sure it went down to like 20 or 25 around Christmas, dude, at $20, like just grab it. Like that's like the I will say the presentation of the newer one in comparison to the older one, it's like tenfold better. So even just like the UI, the UI and how it displays like the roles and the stats and everything is it doesn't seem as cluttered as the first one.
And I support more Games Workshop games becoming popular so I can eventually have the campaign
digital version of Warhammer
40K on a goddamn console.
Maybe one day, Pappy.
They did the Space Marine one, which is all right, but it wasn't what I was shooting for. I didn't want the constant combat, you heal through combat kind of stuff. I wanted an actual, like, I want, like, a Mass Effect-style game in the Warhammer 40K universe. That's what I'm chosen for.
I thought they were pretty clear with Space Marine that it was just straight-up action game.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it was fun for what it was, but it's not what I want.
Not what I want.
So, dude, you want to see me put 1,000 hours into a game? You give me a fucking Mass Effect style Warhammer 40K game.
No, I'm good.
Rock and Racing and Dear God mixed together, and you'll get 1,000 hours.
So, Chris, I'm not sure how much more time you have, but we do have a few emails to go through if you're interested.
You can go through like maybe like one or a handful, and then I'll probably have to take off.
Well, we don't have any giveaways this week, so we only have 3 emails.
How many from
hey, 3.
Zach?
From who?
Zach.
2, actually.
Because he just, I know he tweeted that he got back into listening, so I figured.
We'll start off with Uneaten Lake. He sends in happy anniversary. SML, just wanted to drop you guys an email to say happy anniversary and thank you for the hours and hours of entertainment you provide on a weekly basis. Episode 161 was by far the most interesting show I've heard so far. I loved hearing about all the concept theory that your guest was talking about. I can't wait to play some Project Knoxville during the prototype phase, as well as see how the game develops. Anyhow, again, thanks for the entertainment. It helps me get through my boring days.
That was a great interview. Yeah, that was a lot of fun to do, and a lot of fun to play with the developer beforehand.
Dude, I'm so bummed that I wasn't able to do that, man.
You're playing a game with a bunch of shifty bastards from the UK.
I love it.
And they backstabbed the shit out of us. But at least I survived the first round. Joe just got straight murdered.
I got betrayed so hard.
It was like, hey, come on over here. Yeah, you see that? Yeah, go pick it up. Stab!
Pretty much.
That's amazing.
It was pretty brutal that first time. Yeah. Timo, like, you prick.
I broke off with a group that was like, hey, you've never played. Let's show you how to do it just once. And then you broke off with a group like, ha, fucking newbie. That's
nervous. Well, no, I've played it before. So I think they just took advantage of the fact that I trusted them in the beginning, like Timo. I'm like, I trust. And then from then on, it was, I don't trust. I don't. Fuck you. You're a piece of shit.
Remember when Unleaned Lake suffered that fate when he hopped into my chivalry game and he got stabbed in the fucking face? The game literally started and I stabbed him into a wall of spikes.
Oh,
it was amazing. I was like, thanks for hopping on the stream, man.
See you in 10 minutes when you respawn for the next game.
For Zach, I'm actually going to start with his second email because it's much shorter. This one says another email. I figured I would send one more email just in case you've got any contest going on right now where you just need to send an email to enter. Consider this my official entry. Good news, Zach. We don't have any contest going. Side note, I am not listening to the podcast on YouTube. Or I think he said, I am now listening to the podcast on YouTube at 2x speed, and it is hilarious. So now it should only take me 18 to 19 hours to catch up instead of 37 to 38. Maximum efficiency and hilarity.
That's hysterical.
Brilliant.
Hey, that's what happens when you have a baby. You're going to...
Wasn't it Lake mentioned that? He's like, hey, you know you can fast forward on YouTube. And Zach was like, oh, yeah.
I tried listening to us at 2x speed, but it was too fast.
I think part of it, though, is that for us, it brings back memories of Purvis and Pappy.
Oh, God. I wish it was pitch shifted.
Double speed?
Right?
I wish YouTube just had it pitch shifted for double speed instead of just, like, chopping out stuff.
Actually, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then his first email is just update. I wonder when my last email was. Well, Zach, how about you go back and listen and let us know when we read your last email?
Or we could just look at the timestamp of your last email. Fuck that.
It's certainly been a while. I've been trying to catch up since I returned to work from my holiday break, but I just can't seem to get there thanks to Joe's constant stream of indie reviews and interviews. Too much SML. Anyway, it's currently February 3rd as I type this, and I'm in the middle of episode 142, so he's 20 behind.
Oh, that sucks.
Chain Sai Some Games from December 4th. To give more perspective, the most recent episode is 161. After adding up the time on all the podcasts, I've got approximately 37 hours and 17 minutes of SML yet to catch up on, not counting the Twitch streams that I am definitely going to skip. You dick. Seriously, you guys, holy fuck. Anyway, I have no idea what you've been up to. I'll give you a quick rundown of my 2016 in gaming so far. Since January was a slow start for new games and my Final Fantasy Marathon was finally wrapped, I decided to start a handful of games from my backlog. I'm on episode 2 of Telltale Games' Game of Thrones, about an hour into Final Fantasy Tactics, LOL, more Final Fantasy, 3 to 4 hours into Child of Light, and I started and beat Monument Valley. Lovely little game, that. Oh, I also started Undertale to see what all the fuss was about, but got an hour into it and was pretty bored, so haven't been back to it yet. I do intend on playing it more eventually, just not right now. I've been doing some Pokemon Picross on the 3DS, which is awesome, by the way. But I'm stubborn and down want to pay anything, don't want to pay anything. So I'm just doing daily free puzzles to slowly, excruciatingly slowly, accrue enough gems or coins to, or whatever, to unlock new stages. The one new game I grabbed in January was Final Fantasy Explorers. Ha, more Final Fantasy. And I've been having a blast with it. I'm around 20 hours in right now, and my character is a level 55 paladin with Sephiroth's outfit and Cloud's Buster Sword. Love it. I've never played Monster Hunter, and I've heard from lots of people that Final Fantasy Explorers is like Monster Hunter for beginners. So yeah, I'm definitely contemplating grabbing a Monster Hunter game once I'm tired of Final Fantasy Explorers. Joe, I see you've got Explorers too. Let's try to co-op sometime. Hit me up when you're playing, and if the time zones work out, we should definitely do it up. I've played it for about 10 minutes so far.
10 minutes.
Looking ahead in February, I'm planning to pick up Unravel and The Walking Dead Michonne. I'd also love to get Far Cry Primal, but I'm on a strict gaming budget for the year. Thanks a lot, baby obligations. And there are way too many other things coming out later that I'm more keen on than Far Cry. You know, stuff like Pokken Tournament, Hyrule Warriors Legends, Zelda Wii U, Star Fox Zero, Quantum Break, Mirror's Edge Catalyst, Final Fantasy XV. Yeah, Jesus. I'm much more looking forward to 2016 for gaming than 2015. Anyway, I'll leave things there for now. I look forward to hearing you read this email in another 2 months when you're celebrating episode 200.
Yeah, probably. Oh, hey, I found a game to be excited for this year.
What game?
Andromeda.
Oh, Mass Effect.
Sorry. Mass Effect Andromeda. Yeah, so yeah. That'll be my first purchase.
Listen, I'm probably going to have to bow out.
All right.
Thanks for being able to hop on, man. Good luck,
Chris,
with the show.
Chris, thanks for being our guest this week.
Go
win some money in the slots.
You have to put money in the slot machines to win.
Do what I do. $5 on the penny slots. Win or lose, you don't feel too bad.
Nah.
Meh. I won $108 at Atlantic City off of a 30-cent bet. Come on, man. You can do it. Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know.
All right. Well, Chris, thanks for making the time to call in so you could be a part of our anniversary episode.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't stay on longer.
It's okay.
I apologize. Used to
the disappointment.
I figure we would just go over some of the other featured games of the week until I hear about whether or not any of the other guys might join the show this week.
Word. All right. Well, enjoy the rest of the episode. Bye, people.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
Now we can get Shiz back in the show a little bit and talk about Fortified.
Yeah, we can.
It's
this game that just came out on Tuesday that we're kicking ass and we're all already level 9.
Yeah. It's so fun. I love it.
How do I not have Fortified on my list here?
It's
slipping.
Because we've been playing it for 2 weeks.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm excited that we can finally talk about the game. That's for goddamn sure.
It's the first time, I think, that I actually have a review copy that I can't talk about where I'm just like, oh, I want to talk about this game. It's so good. It was so annoying.
This is the first time in a very long time where a game that encourages you to play online with your friends, where in the middle of the week I was like, you know what, I will hop on and play. Because usually, when you guys shot me the invite yesterday, I was fucking tired of shit and ready for bed.
The invite? Where's the S?
Usually, I was like, in that case, I'd be like, you know what, I appreciate the invite, guys, but I'm going to bow out. But you're like, hey, Fortified, I'm like, you know what, let me finish this food, and I will play for a while.
Let me give the details quick. Fortified is developed and published by Clapfoot Games. It released February 3rd for $15.
Clapfoot.
and it is baller as fuck. And I am hoping to get them on possibly next week sometime.
What did we end up calling it, a tower defense horde mode?
I compared it to Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare, like tower defense third person shooter that does not get boring. You literally stop playing because you have to stop playing.
Yeah,
and because it's kicking your ass.
Yeah, now it is just us versus the computer, though. That's the one difference between this and Plants vs. Zombies. But yeah, it's a way that
It's like the actual Garden Warfare mode of
which I've never played,
where it's just it's basically the Horde mode version of Plants vs. Zombies.
You say that, I think I've only ever
played. It's like Garden Ops.
Garden Ops. That's what it is.
But I love the style. You know, it's okay. Robot alien Martians are invading, and only us four heroes who are total 50s style, like, sci-fi stereotypes. You know,
there's the captain, there's the agent.
Yeah, the captain, the agent, the rocketeer, and the spaceman.
Dude, I love my agent. He's...
Yeah, once you level him up.
Don't relax yet. There's more coming.
In normal mode, you throw up your, your defenses. Yeah, in normal mode, you throw up your defenses. You need to kill things to unlock, to earn money to throw up more defenses in between waves. We discovered on hard mode that there's just a timer between waves, so you better do your shit quick. And,
yeah.
And then you can run around and attack the things that your fortifications missed. And the captain is broken.
He's OP. No, I'm just good at the game.
No, he's OP as fuck. You're good, but he's just too good.
Yeah, the captain, you get infantry, basically. And the infantry, they can attack a lot more frequently. Like, I got the Rocketeer, and she puts up mortars and anti-aircraft artillery and crazy shit, which does a lot of damage, but it fires so infrequently that I'm cleaning up a lot of creatures myself. So at the end of the round, you'll see Joe had, like, 20 kills, and his soldiers had, like, 50, whereas I had 50 kills, and my mortars had 20.
Yeah.
Same as my – I found the agent had good – like, I was doing good damage, but I wasn't mopping up, you know?
Yeah.
Like my boob guns, the fusion coils or whatever they're called. I just call them boob guns.
Your titty coils.
Now,
they fuck shit up, but they don't seal the deal.
Yeah, none of us played the spaceman to talk about his unique abilities, though.
Nobody played the deep sea diver.
Yeah, but yeah, and then you got enough, whatever you want to call it, action points, hero points, whatever. You fill up your bar, you can go heroic. Like for me with the Rocketeer, I fly and I have unlimited ammo while I can fly around the map and, you know, shoot down on enemies for, you know, 30 seconds. So what do you guys do when you go special?
Invulnerable, and I drop mortars in front of me. Like every couple of seconds, just some mortar shells will drop and explode into whatever's in a designated circle in front of me.
Dang.
I just looked like I went Super Saiyan. I caught fire and I was invulnerable. But I feel like it said I have infinite ammo, but nothing changed because you always have infinite ammo.
No. You don't reload.
Mine
does.
Because the first thing I do as soon as I start flying is I just do nothing but left trigger.
Oh, man. Yeah, I feel like mine said that and it's full of shit. But at least I catch fire.
Goddamn liar.
He just listens to my mixtape for 2 minutes straight. It's amazing.
Good time. Yeah, I fucking love the game.
Man, me too.
I don't think my character's broken. I just really kind of got a handle on how to play it. Like, I can drop guns and shit like that. But in my eyes, it makes more sense to just drop my bazooka troopers, and I will just have them follow me, but be behind me. So they're my support is I have my explosive shotgun.
It's the combo is you have your troops can follow you. You know, I have a mortar cannon. It's fixed.
Like I put a sniper that doesn't hit anything.
And what's the cost for your troops?
The bazooka troopers are $400 each.
Yeah, my cheapest
sniper
item is
$550, I think.
Yeah, my cheapest item is $500. It goes up from there.
Well, you should unlock cheaper stuff as you go. Like I have machine gun turrets I could set down for $250.
I have, but I don't like it. I can drop mines, but why the fuck would I want to drop mine when I can have a fucking three mortars and an amplifier that let them do 60% more damage?
I was just gonna say the Tesla coil is only $300, but then when you amplify it for six, it's pretty brutal.
See, the downside with my troops though is that they could die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've never seen anything even attack my fixed emplacements.
Yeah, my guys, if they're attacked, they can die, and then I have to wait for them to respawn. So I do have guys that may attack more frequently, but they also die a lot.
Okay, so you figured out by keeping them behind you.
They're basically my support, so that's why I have them behind me, killing what I'm damaging. So I'll shoot the guys, set them on fire.
Okay.
And then they get the kill.
I mean, I'm just better than you guys because when we did the rounds where I didn't use any support, I was still killing more than everyone else because I'm better at games than you assholes.
That's fair.
You horrible, worthless assholes.
Yeah, the only thing I'll say, though, is this: the Rocketeer's initial gun is shit. As soon as you can switch over to other things, do that. it's literally a little tiny laser gun where you're just like, pew, 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 pew. And it takes like 8,000 fucking rounds before you can take down a robot. So I went right to my fucking grenade launcher. Now I have a bazooka and a machine gun.
Yeah, I have the machine gun. The machine gun's one of my starter weapons, but it's not very powerful. It does have like a shotgun style burst fire.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the same one that I had. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the common one. But what I do is with the, like the bazooka or the grenade launcher is I just, you know, fill the enemies with explosions, and then while that's reloading, switch to my machine gun, finish off one or two robots, and then switch back.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
I was doing I would freeze them with my freeze ray, and then use my death ray. This is slow as hell, but it hits like a tank and it goes through enemies.
But so, that freeze ray saved our ass.
Exactly. Especially with those annihilators, which are brutal as
Man,
fuck.
Yeah. Annihilators are assholes.
I would just, freeze them.
Even on normal mode, don't expect to jump in with your three buddies and beat the game just straight through. You're going to have to replay.
That's what I was going to say. And for me to actually want to play a game with people, is it said something. Because usually I'm like, don't message me, don't talk to me, I'm busy. And I'll just play it alone and whatever. And this one, first of all, it's a hell of a lot more fun with people.
Yeah,
I played it solo and it's still good, but it's nowhere near as good.
I was going to say, this is not a solo game.
It definitely, like, we were
you can,
getting
which is
our
cool
shit
if you want
in.
To just level up or something. That's cool. But...
Maybe the first few stages you could level, but when it gets to that you have to defend two rockets with, like, four different paths, and we're only halfway through the maps. Like, I'm scared to see what level 12 is.
Yeah, we're on normal. I don't even want to know what 12 on insane is. It's probably just like you start the game and die.
It's just fuck you, the video game, on those later stages.
It actually
it just wipes your save.
It has an ambulance on standby.
Yeah, when you die, it wipes your save. It just has a picture of a middle finger.
Oh my god!
Yeah, it's gonna be brutal, but yeah, because it really doesn't scale. I don't feel like unless I'm just that bad, which is entirely possible. But when I played alone, it was way harder.
I think it scales for the number of people. I know it does that.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the number of enemies. I'm not sure if the difficulty.
Yeah, I feel like there was less enemies. It was just it's still hard to keep up with, you know, the multiple spawns and whatever. The same thing is again like Plants vs Zombies. It's so much easier with the team they communicate with, obviously.
Yeah.
And it's just so much more fun. Like, I had fun alone because I played for, I don't know, half an hour alone when we first played, just for a couple of achievements. And it was still fun. But I was like, I miss my boys. It's so much better.
it's the kind of game you want to play with friends. But it is an online game. So, you know, like some of the games that we played that are a lot of fun, but you need to have friends in the room. And there's good and bad in that, but this one, I personally, living half an hour away from all the people I game with, I like being able to get online.
Yeah,
I like the option.
Yeah.
I would honestly think that if you don't have friends to play this game with, you might want to hold off.
I have no friends.
I mean, you can try the public games. I just think...
Playing a game like that with randoms might be pretty awful.
Yeah, especially if you, find randoms that don't use their headsets.
Yeah, because
this is a game
you
need.
It's a game that definitely benefits from teamwork.
You need communication in this game.
Like, I can see playing with randoms could be fun if you get the right guys, but if you get the wrong guys, you're not going to have fun at all.
I feel like
you have to
get really lucky.
Where you get the kid who's like, do this. No, why aren't you doing that? No, fuck you. What the hell is
wrong?
I'm going
to run where I want to run. You get someone like Shiz that just runs where they want to run, and you're like, Shiz. Guard your own fucking rocket. There's four annihilators there right now.
I'm like Miley Cyrus, dude. I can't be tamed, okay?
I
almost just killed myself.
I highly, highly, highly recommend that game.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's awesome.
This is
how
one
much
of,
is it?
$15.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get your money's
worth.
Yeah,
I feel like
bucks.
It might be 20 in Canada, but I'm not sure.
Well, yeah, you're Canadian
need
money.
Three friends, you need it. You want at least two friends, and you will have a blast.
Yeah,
even if it's just one, but I think you still have fun.
Last time we had fun when we were three and when we were four, but three was still a lot of fun.
Yeah,
this was just great chaos. That's what four really amped it up to where you're like, this is the game they made. This is exactly.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was like as soon as they start spawning. You like there's no time to fuck around. It's like shit instantly gets real. Like it just pops off immediately. You kind of have a little bit of leeway when they're coming out from one end then the other. But then when it hits like wave three and they're coming from both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then you literally just get
so fucking good.
And you,
that final level where they're coming out of two sides from four different directions because the way the roads are made.
With those
that's not the final level. That's the final one that we were able to beat.
Yeah, we got half. Yeah. We're halfway through the game right now.
Yeah, because now, again,
when are we playing again? Can we stop recording right now and play?
Unfortunately, no. We do have to do our episode.
It's all good. I'm getting achievements anyways.
Yeah, the game is awesome as hell. It's actually one of the few times that I was bummed about an embargo on a game, because we had it 2 weeks before it came out, but we couldn't say anything until this week. And I hate when there's an embargo of a really good game, because you just want to talk about it and say how fucking good it is and how people need to be prepared to get this game.
Yeah, you want to tell people to set their money aside, like, hey.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I had when I was playing it, I got some messages like, oh, are you going to stream that game? It looks cool. And I was just like, oh, I want you guys to know. I want you guys to know. And I was like, sorry, I can't say shit, but I'll stream it when it comes out.
Yeah, the last one I was this eager to talk about was Unepic. And we had that for a month before it came out.
Did you get it with Rock Zombie?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about a month. Yeah, same like me.
Yeah. And
like I still haven't played enough, but that game.
I was so excited to talk about it when it finally released, and I was able to talk about it because it was just so goddamn good.
Yeah.
That one
definitely seems like a lot of fun. I got to go back to it.
Another game that I got to talk about is Volume. It just released January 6th on the Vita, although it came out for the PS4 back in August. It is a cross-buy game for $20, so you get it for PS4 and Vita. Developed and published by Mike Bithell Games. You might know him as the guy who made Thomas Was Alone. This one, instead of being a platformer with fantastic writing, is a stealth simulation with fantastic writing and really, really funny writing.
Oh, you said stealth. Now I feel like it's safe to walk away because this is not my wheelhouse.
Not at all, probably. It's a lot like if you were a PS1 gamer, Metal Gear VR Missions, very similar to that. It's a top-down isometric just like a simulation style visuals of like all wireframe and shit like that, where you need to sneak through each level, pick up crystals to open up the exit and then escape. And obviously it starts off easy enough where you just, you know, get the crystals and leave. And then there's enemies that you have to, you know, stay out of their sight either by like creeping on a wall past them, or as the game progresses, you get things like a bugle that you can shoot out like a little bullet and detonate it, and it creates a noise to distract them and have them walk away. Or there's something called an oddity that you throw it onto a wall and then it just catches their attention, and you could just like pretty much sneak right behind them without any worries. You're able to wear disguises. You're able to hop over different walls. You get a blackjack in the game to beat the shit out of people. You could hide in lockers if there's people patrolling. There's enemies that one of the earlier things they teach is you could like flush a toilet to get their attention and then sneak by around a wall to get past them.
That's cool. It's like just escapist, I guess.
Not really.
You could do the same thing. Flood a toilet and then the security guards check it out, and then you could go raid whatever. And
yeah, Escapist is much more of like a sim-style game, where this is just like pure action-style stealth.
No, I meant the toilet part, not the game itself.
No.
Escapist is not really a stealth game.
Yeah, I know.
That's cool.
But yeah, the game is just really friggin' cool. I was able to play it on the PS4 and the Vita, thanks to the wonderful benefits of cross-buy. Unfortunately, it does not support cross-save yet. There is supposed to be an update coming to the PS4 to enable cross-save. It is a lot easier to play on the PS4. Just the way the visuals work, like it works well on the Vita, but nothing like playing it on a full screen, because some of the text could be really small. Some of the colors and like the aiming lines for some of the, like the bugle, because it has like a little aiming line that shows where it's going to go. It can blend into the background colors really easily. It's just so much easier to play on the PS4 as opposed to the Vita.
Makes sense.
So if you're getting it, if you only have a Vita, it's worth checking out. I might wait for a sale. If you have a PS4 and you don't already have the game, what the fuck are you waiting for?
I don't know. I'm so sorry.
There's no word on if it's going to come to the Xbox One, although he said, you know, never say never. So it could eventually make it over. I hope it does, because Thomas Was Alone made it over. I would love to see Volume make it over. It's just a really, really cool game. The visuals, the wireframe style simulation visuals are fantastic. It's a long game. There's 100 stages to go through.
Holy shit.
Plus, you can create stages and share them online.
Nice.
So they have online stages. A lot of them are like just kind of basic bullshit stages, but thankfully they also have like a recommended section of actual good, long, involved stages. So there's it seems awesome. Like near endless replayability as long as people are making cool levels.
That's really cool. Yeah. Man, Thomas Was Alone was so good that I would definitely look into it if it came to the One, for sure.
Yeah, I hope it does. So, Mike, if you're listening to this, first off, come do our show sometime. Secondly, come on, bring it to Xbox. What are you waiting for? Next game.
We're not biased at all. We're not biased at all if you read our tweets and every second one is, hey, this should be on Xbone. That'd be awesome.
We've been talking about like having new names for SML, of what the SML stands for, and I'm thinking serving Microsoft loyally.
Hey, maybe then we can finally get sponsored.
Man, I would nut if we got sponsored by Microsoft.
Yeah, nah. It'd be like, hey guys, we're sponsored by a video game company, but we're gonna try our best not to be more biased than we already are.
Yeah.
Because people can't be like, oh my god, Microsoft biased. Yeah, have you listened to our show?
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, I play Steam and Xbox. Joe has everything, and 80% of the games he either plays on Xbox or wishes were on Xbox.
No, 100% I wish were on Xbox.
Okay. And then
100% of what I play is on Xbox. Go figure.
But 80% I do play on Xbox.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Next game we should discuss is called The Bug Butcher, developed and published by Awfully Nice Studios. It released January 19th on PC, Mac, and Linux for $8, $7.99. Pappy, you streamed this one this week. Give us your thoughts.
Yeah, it was good. All right, what's the next game?
You're a piece of shit.
Dude, wow. Now the first thing I told Joe when he said, he's like, hey, you want to try The Bug Butcher? And I'm like, oh, let me YouTube some videos here. Dude, this game... Design-wise, it reminds me of Alien Hominid. Not the gameplay necessarily, okay. But the look, the humor, the feel of it. And it's fun as hell. You're an exterminator. These lousy scientists manage to get an infestation, and you got to help them. You got to get rid of all the bugs. And of course, it's very cartoony. Your bug zapper is called like Old Reliable, and it's more of a machine gun than a fucking bug zapper.
Nice.
What's fun about the game is all the enemies come from above. Everything flies. So you're shooting upwards. You can't strafe left, right. You just shoot up. So you got to time it. And I played it on easy. I got to level 12 before I died, and I got all the way to level 30, which is the final level. And I died like 8 or 9 times in a row and finally had to call it. I could get to the last 2 bugs with 8 seconds left, and not enough time to kill them.
You're terrible.
But Joe watched a little bit, and the bugs are, I mean, you got the little tiny guys, you got big guys that break up into pieces, and smaller bugs. Some fucking vomit fire. Some of them shoot lightning out of their ass. The worst are the spiders, because the spiders crawl on the ceiling, get above a scientist, and then use the giant tongue to start pulling it up. If the scientist dies, you die. So you're fighting off all this shit.
Well done for their tongues.
Yeah, I call these other things the face fuckers, because they jump. So if they land on you, you insta die. They're just trying to fuck your face to death.
They're literally like the face fuckers from Alien.
Yeah, yeah.
Just fuck your face till you die.
So in the later levels, and I was just playing on easy, but you can upgrade your weapons. You can upgrade how long your specials last. Like, it's all about timing, because every single level is timed. You have 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 30 seconds, or 2 minutes on easy. Those are the three amounts of time. And if you don't kill all the bugs in time, the room lets out a gas to kill the remaining bugs and also kills you.
Genius.
So it's, you've got a dash, you've got your guns, you've got your special power up that you you power it by getting combos. And I'm not that great with the combos because it's all, you know, if you kill two bugs on the right hand side of the screen and there's 10 of them to the left, by the time even if you dash to the left, your combo meter's already dropped. Okay. So it's you're avoiding bugs, you're avoiding bullets, you're avoiding fucking face fuckers, and trying to time it to murder everything as efficiently as possible. And it's a lot.
Sounds easy.
You would love it, man. I know it's only a Steam game right now, but you would love the shit out of it.
It sounds fun, dude.
Yeah.
It sounds just like how you described it. It sounds almost like Alien Hominid meets Space Invaders.
It kind of is.
The one thing I can compare it to is Buster Brothers.
I never played that game. So.
It's basically the same style gameplay where you're shooting upwards, but instead of bugs, there's just like balloons bouncing around, and you shoot hooks up to try and pop the balloons.
Nice.
I believe when Jesse was on, Jesse Radonsky of Evolve PR, I think this was a game he was talking to us about where he mentioned it was a lot like Buster Brothers. And when I watched you play, I was like, yeah, this is totally fucking Buster Brothers.
A lot more fun than balloons, though.
Well, Buster Brothers is like Super Nintendo days.
Okay.
So it's an old school game. Like every game we talk about that isn't on the Xbox, I hope this one comes to Xbox.
What's great is it was already controller enabled, so I played it with my Xbox One controller.
Nice, nice. All right, now I'm getting more interested.
I plugged it in thinking, okay, this is kind of like a left to right shooter. Oh, this should have controller integration. So I didn't even check. I just plugged in the controller before I even booted the game, and boop, yep, there it is. Let's do this.
Good times.
Yeah. Sounds awesome.
Please
come to the one.
So I think we're going to be adding some people to the call here.
Oh.
Let's see if they join.
Nah, they hang up.
They're both like, fuck you, we're out.
Fakesies.
Yeah, I'm so tired. Can I just go to bed now?
Yes. we are going to be adding Adam Rippon and Bob Baffy to the call.
Nice.
Oh, which is exciting. Apparently, Bob was available like 30 minutes ago, but I had the screen on my iPad off, so I have no idea. Like, I have Twitter open on my computer, hoping to see.
Hey-o.
Yay, Adam's here.
I'm here.
I am attempting to get Bob on as well.
What's that?
I am attempting to get Mr. Bob Baffy on as well. It is calling him presently.
I like a good Baffy.
Good Baffy's always good. You're really quiet.
Okay. Am I louder now?
A little louder.
Bob Baffy is busy.
Oh, Mr. Baffy. I'll try again. Calling Bob Baffy. This is entertaining podcast material right
now. We have an Adam. Hey, how's it going? Yeah. How have you been?
Hey, pretty good. Pretty good. Can you hear me all right now? I'm trying to figure out where the microphone is on my iPad Pro.
Is it on the bottom?
Better. It might be.
Just look at the butthole of the iPad.
The butthole, huh?
Hey, there you go. Wherever you were just speaking in right there was pretty close.
Oh, all right.
It was the butthole.
When all this fails, eat the booty like groceries.
Yep.
So, yep. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've got a bag of pig snacks. I've got kombucha and whiskey because I'm just all kinds of confused about my diet.
So. I think if you're eating pork rinds, kombucha, and whiskey, there is no diet.
Yeah.
I think that's the diet of champions.
I mean that in the grander sense of the word, as in my personal input.
Ah. Not sure how this whole food thing works. Let's just throw some things in the stomach and see how it goes.
Yeah. Like so far, so good.
I passed my PT test yesterday. I may have had a cheesecake for lunch.
Cheesecake.
Well, a slice, but it wasn't very good. Because I'm like, I need to have junk food, but I only had the commissary, so I bought the like pre-prepared thing, and Yeah, I was a little. So I ordered baklava yesterday to celebrate, like, the real thing. Like, yeah, I'll get real. Yeah, and it fucking never showed up.
Oh, those buttholes.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
I've been yeah, on a,
you sounded like legit devastated from that.
I was, man. It was fucking, what did I say? $5 fucking piece of baklava that never showed up, man.
Mm-hmm.
Did you call them and bitch at them?
I went through Grubhub. They gave me a $10 gift card.
That's good.
Sure, so you made $5.
Yeah. So I'll order two baklava next time.
It's just not the same.
I was just gonna say, so
that $10 can't replace the lack.
You're gonna become rich, man.
Yeah, eventually I'll have like $100 of Grubhub. I'll just be sitting here crying because I never
buy a car out of like the baklava you never got.
Can you use Grubhub credit for cars?
If I had enough for a car, I'd start selling off the credits to people. Yeah, man. Yeah, give me $50. I'll give you $100 of Grubhub credit. Everybody.
The guy who's selling you the cart needs to eat, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
Because you never have to leave the house because it Grubhub delivers.
Mm.
And it's practical.
Oh, there you go. So good.
There's your sales pitch.
So, Adam, awesome. What have you been working on lately? Well,
believe it or not, still Dragon Fantasy 2. I just finally shipped it again to Nintendo. Like, we got real busy at Choice Provisions with Tharsis and Laser Life coming out. And, excuse me.
What the fuck? That's what was that? Was that, there. Is that a burp or a stroke?
That was a little of both.
okay.
That's what my life is now.
Burps and strokes.
It's the diet. It's the
we
diet.
Got really busy with Tharsis and Laser Life coming out. So Dragon Fantasy 2 has been sitting for 3DS and Wii U. It's been sitting almost finished since June. The only bug on the 3DS version was that the e-manual was missing the words "also supports new Nintendo 3DS." So finally got that back into submission yesterday. Yeah, yesterday. And I'm working on Space Dave. I'm actually going to see if I can get Space Dave onto a different kind of video game system that I haven't really heard of. What's it called?
The X Boner one.
You're a dick, Adam.
Yes, X Boner. X-Boner?
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a small startup called Microsoft, but they're doing pretty good.
They're not
it's
very
a Kickstarter.
Good. That's why Micro is part of their name.
Nice. I'm still going to hound you forever to get Dragon Fantasy onto the Xbox.
I'm going to work on it.
Or just Dragon really Fantasy
Are you just saying you're going to work on it, or are you going to work on it?
No, it's more likely now than ever. So
that is very good to hear.
Yeah.
If it's anywhere as good as Laser Life, I'm all about it.
You like Laser Life?
Oh, man. That was awesome.
Laser Life is awesome. Oh, by the way, Adam Rippon, this is Shiz Blacka. He's a friend that we made along the way.
Yeah, how's it going?
How's it going?
Good, you.
It's a pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, you guys
he's
have,
a dedicated
have,
Twitch streamer, so
exactly.
He plays
I was allowed to show Laser Life on the Xbox One pre-release and had a blast with it.
Oh,
it was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing it with the world. Like we spent like I don't know how long did we work on that? Like 18 months or something. I didn't really have much to do with it. I just fixed a bunch of UI bugs at the end.
Okay,
but,
so it was pretty much all you.
That's kind of important, you know. Me. Hey, this doesn't actually work. Maybe I should fix it.
It seems cool, but it doesn't work.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that game is all about the UI. It's all menu-driven, and the active time battles. Wait, no, I'm thinking of the wrong game.
Thinking of the end of Halo 4.
So yeah, I'm excited to hear that Dragon Fantasy might actually be a real thing on the Xbox One.
Someday. Don't hold your breath or anything. But
too late. I'm already holding it.
I don't know how I'm talking.
Yeah, it's impressive. You guys,
because you're a ventriloquist.
I am. I just like putting my hand up, Pappy, and
you do the
making
podcast
him
where you
talk.
Suck dick. Oh,
yeah,
sorry, I take that back. I didn't mean it.
No, you meant it. If it does come to the Xbox One, the only thing that I would love to see is in the credits. It just says, "Joe, shut the fuck up now."
oh my god.
I might not be able to get the exact wording past some people.
Yeah,
but,
close enough.
Something similar, yes.
You can shut up now, Joe.
two Joe Camp.
You could just do like Q-Bird and have all those symbols. Mm-hmm. Joe, shut the ampersand up.
Joe, shut the ampersand up.
For Joe, please shut up.
I'll just have that be the very first thing you see when you start the game. For Joe, with love.
Hashtag ampersand.
With love and middle fingers.
Yes.
I'd lose my mind if I started up the game and it just said, "For Joe, you're a piece of shit." Or
I think at this point,
something like
Joe,
that.
If you start up the game on the Xbox, you'll have lost your mind from excitement.
Yeah.
Nice.
I will legit be so excited to see that come to the Xbox One because I'll feel like I am the one responsible for bringing it to the Xbox. I badgered you that much.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I'm going to burst your bubble right now. He don't give a fuck about what you think, bro. And then I'm going to get all the achievements before you.
Probably.
I care about Joe. I care so much.
Yeah, I can tell. This is what, so like much. Your fifth time on our show?
I think so, yeah.
Something crazy. You're one of our longest running guests.
Well, good for me.
Yeah.
Were you on the one
Maybe
with
you're
the,
my
the,
longest
the Bigfoot?
Guest. You ever think of that?
Yes.
Is he on the Bigfoot one?
Yeah, he's one of the men responsible for the Bigfoot erotica.
Well, yeah, I listened to that recently. That was amazing. Well, yeah, I was listening to that right before the end of the year. No, right at the beginning of the year, I think. Literally like on January 1st or 2nd.
Nice.
So, Shiz, what are your thoughts on Bigfoot erotica?
Oh, dude, I'm all about it. I'll help. I'm fucked up in the head enough. I'm sure I can make it even better.
No, don't encourage them because I'm the one who's supposed to write the first chapter.
Yeah, we're still waiting on you, dick.
Okay, well then get to work and let's get rich, bro.
Oh, God.
Hey,
I don't know what I'm more afraid of, actually writing it and then having you guys see that I wrote it or writing it and you guys finishing it and it becoming popular. Like, I don't know which is worse.
We're going to finish something, all right. All over that furry motherfucker's face. But listen, I'm just saying, put out the book, make mad monies. You give the monies to the peoples, and they put the games on the Xboxes. I'm just saying.
And then you use the mad money for more baklava.
No, but you got to say monies, so that way it sounds professional. So when you bring the paperwork, they bring the games to the Xbox.
That would be my byline, you know, like the co-authors on the back cover. And I'd just be like, I did this for the monies.
I did it for the monies and the shouties.
That's it.
God, why didn't I pick up baklava when I was getting whiskey? Shit.
Oh, God.
You would have made $5.
Now, okay. Did you get, like, whiskey like Knob Creek, or did you get, like, some kind of honey whiskey thing going on?
Honey whiskey? Yeah. No, like, I got Bullet.
Okay. Oh, so you don't even care
about
it.
That sounds so much more gangster.
Yeah.
Did you get honey whiskey? No, I got Bullet, motherfucker.
So you don't even care about what it tastes like at this point. You just want
I just want that 78% whiskey.
So the shop down the street only has like Jack Daniels and Bullet and like a couple others, and of the selection available, I like Bullet the best.
But it's
all garbage. Yeah,
I feel like a bum for drinking a king can of Budweiser now.
You pussy.
But drinking, I was quite the. I can't say I was the alcohol snob. I wasn't the guy who walked around and went, "Oh, you're drinking that? Fuck you know." But for
How
me,
you know
when
not,
I
then?
When I drank, like if I was going to a party, I liked the top shelf liquors. I liked to get some of the nice micro brews. If I was drinking at home, it was Miller Lite or Bud Light Lime, you know. But if I was going out, I'm going to share some beers. I'm going to go to the store and buy like the build your own six pack shit because that was you know. But if I was drinking liquor, Ciroc vodka. Knob Creek whiskey, like it's shit you didn't want to drink too fast because you spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Bud Light Lime, fun fact, don't drink 12 of them really fast in the sun if you haven't eaten.
Yeah.
It turns out that just because they're low in percentage, they do still destroy you at some point.
Yeah, part of the reason I quit drinking was because I could demolish a 24-pack of Bud Light Lime on a Saturday.
And still be thirsty.
And then walk to the store to buy a 12-pack, yeah.
Yeah. They're so weak, but it's just like, if you drink it in the sun, it's just so refreshing, but then it hits you, and then, well, rip.
Yeah, because towards the end, because, you know, being in the military and having to control your weight, I was giving up dinner so I could drink because of the calories of the beer.
But, I just like the fact that – I just picture you walking around with your machine gun like, man, I better throw these chips away so I can get fucked up.
No, that's what it was, man. Breakfast was a granola bar. Lunch was like a salad, and dinner was a 24-pack. Like, when we talk about what alcoholism is, man, I was the fucking poster boy for a couple of months. Like, it was crazy.
Proud of you.
Yeah, I approve.
For quitting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
That's that part.
Both. Both. Really.
A whole 247. I mean, I'm proud.
To this day, I still can't believe no one really noticed. Like, that's the part that weirds me out the most, is no one at work noticed. Because I would get so drunk so fast, I'd be asleep by 10 o'clock. So I'd still get 7 hours of sleep before work the next day. So I wouldn't stink. Yeah,
I'm good at getting drunk fast, but somehow staying like annihilated for a long time. And then I don't sleep and I wake up the next day and I'm wondering how I woke up.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're not sleeping well. I wasn't getting a wink of actual rest because
like a nap.
When you're drunk, that means you have hours worth of alcohol in your body still to process. That's why you stay drunk, because once you feel it, you feel it. Because enough of it's processed, but you still got a lot more in your system.
Oh yeah, I have to tell you a funny story real quick. I'll be really, really, really quick. Right at, I think it was like Christmas Eve or something like that. It was one of those days where it was half day at work. I leave the bar at only like 8 p.m. because I was like, I got to go home and stream. Then I get a text from my cousin saying that he just saw me leave the bar, and I had found out that he was going to be a dad the week before. So I'm like, guess I got to go back and buy him a beer. I'm going to leave, run into a friend that's moving to New York, and I'm in Canada, so I'm never going to see her. Fuck. She's moving like in a week. All right, I guess I'm going to have a beer with you. Then I'm about to finally leave, and my coat, which belonged to my grandfather who passed away like 2 years ago, and it's the only thing I've left of him, is gone. So I'm walking around the bar, and it's ladies' night, which I forgot. So the bar is fucking packed. I'm drunk, and I'm pissed off because I'm like, yo, I swear to God, if I see somebody wearing my day grandfather's coat, I'm going to crack him in the fucking face. And it turns out that somebody put the coat, like, against the wall in a corner, but I couldn't see because they had dimmed the lights and shit. So I spent, like, 3 hours walking around the bar pissed drunk looking for a coat that was right there all along. And at this point, it was so late, and because it was a half day, I had to get up at 4:30. At this point, it's 2 in the morning. So, yeah, I walked home 45 minutes. I showered. I went to work fucking hammered. And nobody really – they're just like, you look tired. I was like, yeah, bro, I'm fucking exhausted. Oh, man. Merry Christmas.
Yeah. And I remember you tweeting that adventure.
Oh, dude, you don't understand how it was – it was funny because I looked at Twitter. I'm like, see, this is the exact reason you'll do social media when you're drunk. I was like, I swear if I find this motherfucker, I'm going to cut him.
Yeah, that's the worst thing, though, with the younger drinkers is when you have that mindset of, oh, when I start feeling drunk, I'm going to stop drinking. It's like, no, dude, if you're still drinking until you feel like, oh, I'm wasted now, you're fucked. That means you're going to be throwing up somewhere because, oh, yeah, you quit drinking, but you've got a lot in you, and it's not going to be happy in another hour.
It's the only thing that's good about beer. Like, you feel bloated or whatever, but at least it doesn't – it's not like a sleeper.
Yeah, well, I used to joke that, you know, you switch over to, like, Guinness because each Guinness is a sandwich. You can't pound 15 of those fuckers.
I just can't drink them, man. Those things are just too heavy.
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying, like, you're not getting drunk off of Guinness. Even me, at the prime of my alcoholism, I couldn't get drunk off of, like, Guinness.
The prime of my alcoholism.
The prime.
When I was at my prime, bro, when I could out-drink nobody.
Top of the game, when he was top of the game.
You can ask Joe, before I quit, what did I do when I came to visit you? Like, 3 cases of Yingling in 3 days?
It was ridiculous.
And there were 5 of us in that apartment, and no one helped.
You just reminded me that I need to watch the episode of It's Always Sunny, where they're seeing, was it Charlie is apparently seeing like a ghost of a baseball player?
Oh, yeah, I saw that one just the other day.
Oh, I need to watch that.
Adam's now 3 rooms away based on his audio quality.
Sorry,
he's,
yeah,
he's actually underwater and having
a
shower.
Hey, he's mixing a drink. Leave him alone.
I'm
And now he's
I'm
dead.
Trying to cook dinner and talk at the same time.
Nice.
I'm just going to talk on the show like this.
He actually put his phone in the whiskey bottle.
Now, the only episode of Always Sunny that I really, really remember is the one where Frank showed them all how to put boxed wine into a Coke can so no one judges you. But then as they're all more drunk,
I only watched
the
first 2 seasons.
Oh, they've got like wine mustaches because they've been sipping out of, you know, wine out of Coke so much.
That's awesome.
It's like, oh yeah, God. No one judges you when you drink like a Diet Coke down the street. No one has to know. But then they're all doing it and they're getting so wasted. And yeah, by the end of the episode, they all have fucking wine mustaches.
That's awesome. Yeah, and this one apparently it's like they find out that like one baseball player drank 100 beers in a day or some shit, so he wants to beat his record, but he's on an airplane.
Yeah, I saw that one.
I need to see that shit.
I think, was it Wade Boggs?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know that Andre the Giant was able to drink like 100 beers in a day or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, because of his metabolism.
And also the fact that he was 18 feet tall.
Yeah, that helps.
Yeah, like 700 pounds.
Awesome. That's awesome, right?
Yeah, apparently, I remember reading a story. He drank like 120 beers and he was too big. They couldn't carry him out. So they put a fucking piano cover over him.
Yeah, because what he would have them do is they would pour the beers into like a bucket so he could drink out of the bucket.
That's just ridiculous. That,
that's what Pappy aspired to be back in the day.
Like a horse trough filled with Miller Lite.
Yeah, a horse trough.
I just picture like an elephant at the circus.
I'll tell you what, though. I mean, year and change sober, man. It's kind of nice to wake up and actually feel like I slept.
Or not feel like dying?
Or to remember days?
Yeah, and to remember things. That's also
what's that feel like?
I remembering things.
I've done more maturing in the last year than I did the previous 10.
Nice. Yeah, I must say, I can't wait to start sleeping like a normal person again because I don't remember what remembering is, and it really annoys the fuck out of me.
Yeah, even people who drink, like I'm not shitting on drinking. Yeah, if you drink, you drink. If you find yourself living to drink, then talk to somebody, get help.
Oh, Pappy, you need to, if Shiz still does them, when he does his fucked up Friday streams, you need to watch one of them. So you can see what we all saw for the longest time.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but most of the time, you saw that when I was with everyone else acting that same way. Like, you know, the cabin parties, I wasn't the only drinker there, you know what I mean?
But he'll start the streams, and like they're good enough. He's like fairly coherent, and he's just playing games. He's drinking as he's playing. He's like, yeah, I'm trying out this game for the first time. It's really good. The puzzles in here are good. It's like a really, really good game. Clockwork Tales he was playing. It's like, I like, you know, this is really good. This puzzle's really easy. Like 3 hours later, he's like, this puzzle's fucking bullshit. This game is fucking stupid. The developers, I'm going to fucking cut all of them because of this fucking puzzle. It's just fucking like, who does
now, hey,
this?
I played that. Sober. I played that sober, and some of the later puzzles were bullshit. So.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just used a guide the next day to mop up the achievements, and I was like, I give up.
So I didn't use a single hint until I was at the final area, and then I had all these hints left, so I was just abusing the shit out of them. Like, you want us to solve this puzzle for you? Yes.
It was funny because Joe was like, all right, I'm going to stop watching. It's not funny anymore. You're just too angry. I was like, it can't be that bad. And then the next day when I replayed the game on Expert to get the achievements, after like half an hour, I was like, oh, this is all new. And I was like, wait a minute. That's when I got to the end of the game.
Did you rewatch your stream?
No, I didn't even want to. Without watching, I was so ashamed that I was just like, all right, so I guess the fucked up Fridays are going to have to stop.
Yeah. I mean, they're good for a while, and then you hit that point.
I guess it just depends on the game also. It's like playing puzzle games when you're drunk is not a good idea, because you're just going to turn retarded, and then you're going to get angry, because that's just how alcohol works.
I mean, like, even stuff like Binding of Isaac, when you're fucked up and playing that, you get so angry. You're an angry drunk.
I'm just an angry person.
I think it's more that you like to talk shit, but then once you're drinking, your filter goes off, so you're just talking shit about everything, whether it deserves it or not.
Why am I breathing so loud? Fuck.
Bart's as drunk as shit. It's incredibly aggravating. I don't know if you guys heard, it's like the hardest fucking game, and people are all pissed off that it's impossible and shit.
Which game?
Tharsis? Our new game about dice? Dice and space cannibalism.
I haven't played that one yet.
I heard about that.
You should check it out. It's we did a lot of playtesting for that game, like really drunk, like really drunk.
Hey, Adam, is it on the Xbox?
So you're saying this game doesn't exist yet?
Yeah, basically, it doesn't exist.
Okay.
Are you gonna bring it to the Xbox One?
I think we are, yeah.
Oh, well, cool.
Shit.
What's it called again?
The Friday confirmed.
I had nothing to do with Tharsis, but except for testing it. But Yeah, I think they are doing an Xbox port at some point.
Cool. Do you know if they're going to bring the what version of BitTrip came out? The BitTrip box or something? Oh.
The BitTrip.
Do you know if that's going to make its way over?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
How do you spell Dharsis?
Dharsis.
Dharsis. Okay.
Man, I remember playing BitTrip Runner 2 on a night where three of my friends came over to drink. And... big surprise, I raged on one level for half an hour, and I'm like, fuck this, I'm going for a smoke, and I come back, and my buddy beat it on the first try, and he passes me the controller, he's like, here, man, it's your turn again. I'm like, wait, this doesn't seem familiar. You fucking beat it, you cocksucker! Like,
yeah, that's so great.
Games when I'm you know what's a good drunken game? Is Electronic Super Joy. That game is easy as dicks when you're drunk.
I don't know, when I was kind of messed up on Halcyon. I didn't have an easy time with that game.
Hey, you also, on the plus side, within you got to replay it because you didn't remember playing it.
Yeah, within 10 seconds, you're like, yo, let me know if I should upload this to YouTube. As soon as you're like, I'm going to play this game. Oh, all right, here we go. I'm sold. I'm sold.
Yeah, it's fun to go back and watch that. I'm just so gone. It's like when
I need to finish watching it. It was amazing.
What was it? The Halo 5 unboxing I did while on painkillers.
Oh, you were on painkillers on that one?
I think so. That one wasn't sleeping pill. That one was just straight painkillers. And
okay, I'm watching this trailer for Tharsis, and it's a fucking like survival horror game, but you're at the mercy of a goddamn random die roll for everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Yo, you know what horror game is going to... Isn't fucking Layers of Fear coming out in February?
Yeah.
Full version?
The full version, yeah. I am excited.
I'm
going
to have to replay it for achievements. I hate my life. Oh, that game's
I'm
fucking...
I'm happy because it's been long enough that I don't... I remember a few core...
That's why I don't want to play it, because I don't remember anything anymore.
That's
I'm
why, man.
Shit myself all over again.
It was fun watching you play that game, by the way.
But shout out to the pens. I'm going to need those again.
I worry when I did the live stream of that one that I'm so big into horror and stuff, you know, that I had a couple of good elements, but I worry that I wasn't as entertaining as some of these people who just freak the fuck out. Because I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go down here. Oh, God. Oh, okay. That was scary. That was
I don't know what that's all like. You got I'm tough guy extraordinaire.
Yeah, I was just a little bit like, and then I moved on. But you watch some of these other people, and they're like, oh, what the fuck is that? Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm peeing out of my eyeballs from fear. And I'm like, it's not that scary, dude.
I think, streaming for XBLA fans who...
Yeah, I gave up watching
who,
this
hella,
stream. Hella 10 minutes.
I think it was Pandemonium.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who's, like, deathly afraid of anything horror-related. And it was still the beginning of the game, like, before anything creepy happened. And she would, like, go to open a door and just freak out before the door opened. Like, nothing happened in the game yet.
It was too much fear-mongering for me.
Sometimes I do that to myself, though. I psych myself up before – like, when I played Outlast, I psyched myself out so hard before playing it. And as soon as I heard any type of noise, I was just like, I was convinced I was going to die of a heart attack. But watching Hella So Bitter stream Layers of Fear was amazing because she was just like getting off on it. It was so funny. That girl is fucked in the head and I love her for it. She'll just like, as soon as she sees blood or something, she's like, oh, okay, I'm liking this. But it's just, it's so weird. She's way too calm about it.
Yeah, it was like I fell through a trap door and I'm just like, ah. And then I'm like, who the fuck puts a trap door in a house? That's stupid. And I just moved on, you know?
Yeah, it was fun watching you play it, Pappy, because you had some pretty good quips and comments.
Yeah, mine was more quippy.
I watched yours.
Yeah, I had fun with it. But, I like watching people who are a little scared, you know, who get a little...
I just can't do jump scares, man. It doesn't matter what the fuck it is.
But like
I just
Joe
can't
said, with that girl who was so afraid, I just gave up. I watched 10 minutes, and I'm like, this isn't really fun to watch because 10 minutes, she's too gone much. Through one room. Like, it's there's such a thing as just being too scared and just be like, okay, this is not beneficial to anybody. Let's just hand it over to somebody
watching
else.
Legend of the Star get stuck in that kitchen for approximately 17 years was really funny, though.
Yeah, it was pretty great watching her play it.
That was fucking funny.
What the hell were we talking about again?
We were talking about booze and games. Oh, yeah, Rocket League's supposed to hit the Xbox also.
I'm going to drink.
Yay, backlog.
Adam's just doing stuff in the kitchen right now.
He's just making dinner, drinking whiskey, and he's like, why the fuck am I here?
Can you guys hear me, like, cutting this bread?
Cutting bread? No, we can't hear you cutting bread.
I'm making garlic bread and spaghetti.
Cutting bread?
We
dude,
can...
Hey,
this guy's slang is on another level, though.
Dinner. Like, that's awesome right there.
I like to cook.
You should cook some baklava
like
for Pappy.
Yeah, you guys, you know, I wish you guys could smell this fucking garlic sauce I got going here, but I guess not. No technology for that yet.
Unfortunately. So you should get your ass to MAGFest.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't think that's going to happen this year, but...
That's bullshit.
Get wrecked immediately.
That's February, weeks. Right?
Fuck, okay, I sit on my monitor from that.
What's usually in January. Like, next year will probably be in January again.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right around the corner.
Dale North and I are talking about going to Bit Summit in Kyoto instead, so...
Jesus.
Yeah, okay, good. Now I can be jealous of Dale when he crashes in my goddamn room at MAGFest in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He hit me up, he's like, hey, do you have... Can I stay with you? I have nowhere to live yet. And I'm like, yeah, sure, dude.
And months prior, I'm like, Pappy, can I crash with you? Because I don't think I could afford an actual room. And Pappy's like, I'm just going to just get the room by myself. And I'm just going to enjoy it by myself. And then Dale's like, hey, can I stay with you? And he's like, oh, Dale, I love you so much.
My buddy Sean broke the seal because he's like, hey, I can get to MAGFest, but I can't afford a room and everything's booked already. Can I crash with you? And, you know, I'm trying to get a new guy there. So I'm like, yeah, you know what? You can sleep on a fold out fucking bed couch. I still get the master bed. And I said the same thing to Dale. I'm like, as long as you don't mind sleeping with a bodybuilder in a fold-out bed couch, I got no problem. Master bedroom is fucking mine. So.
That sounds comfortable.
That's hot, is what that is.
So, Adam, you can go as well, and you can crash with Dale and the bodybuilder all in a single fold-out couch.
You can sleep underneath the pool table in my
Pull a sacco and sleep under.
I've been in a ska band for 6 years, so I'm used to sleeping in weird fucking places. Did I ever tell you about the place in Bristol?
No.
So,
story time, yay.
This was 2007, I think. Anna was on her first, actually her only England tour. They toured all around England. And, so I flew out for the last week of the trip, and they were all fucking sorts of pissed off by the end of their month-long tour there. And the band was Monkey. They're a ska band. They just did their 20-year anniversary show, last week. Band. Oh, yeah?
It rings a bell. Anyways.
Yeah. So they played a show at this, like, real shitty dive bar in Bristol, which is this, like... You ever see the show The Young Ones? Had a bunch of punks living in a house in England.
Oh, but I own SLC Punk.
It's basically the same thing, but in Britain.
Okay.
So Bristol's this like real, like, you know, white trashy kind of like working class town in England. And they play this. I mean, I'm sure there's nice parts too, but probably not. So they play this show and like the bartender's like, oh, yeah, you can just stay upstairs, mate. It's no big deal. And so they all, like, go up, you know, to stay in this dude's flat upstairs. And, like, you know, Curtis, the lead singer, gets the couch. And it's, you know, a gross couch. Micah, the drummer, and Brian, the trumpet player, they have to, like, share this, like, these little shitty cots in this, like, tiny little room that looks like the fucking Children of the Corn live there. the saxophone player had to stay in the kitchen. And in the kitchen, there was a stove that had, like, this, like, fucking, like... fat had been dripping out of the stove and it made like a stalagmite. There's a stalactite. Stalagmite.
Good. No, he had a pillow. He had a pillow.
Yeah. It's just this like rod of like fat coming up from the floor. It's disgusting.
A rod of fat.
Yeah. And then
hey, that's my dick.
That was actually the joke I was going to say.
Fucking asshole. Me too. God damn it.
The bartender tells Donnell, hey, you can sleep in my bed. It's no big deal. I'll sleep someplace else. So she's all like, yeah, I'll go sleep in his bed. No big deal. She goes into his bedroom and looks at his bed. It's covered in blood.
What
Blood
everywhere. because and then this other dude's like, yeah, like every night he comes. No, I guess it's not a California accent. Anyway, whatever. He's like, yeah, every night he comes upstairs and like, you know, runs and jumps into bed and bangs his head, and there's this nail in the ceiling that's like kind of sticky. And like, fucking dude just jumps into bed drunk as shit and then bleeds while he falls asleep.
What the fuck?
So this guy was living train spotting.
Basically, yeah. Like, there is
what the fuck?
The punk rock fucking kids in England are so much more hardcore than the ones out here. Like,
oh my
there's some
God.
Crusty gutter punks in like.
In so this guy's being like shattering his skull yeah. just going to bed.
Yeah,
that's hardcore.
I think at some point he'd wake up and be like, "Huh, maybe I should just hammer the nail back into the."
Yeah, right.
For real, right? Like, man, I'm so hungover. Man, I got a fucking concussion, mate.
Yeah, maybe it's time to reevaluate some fucking life choices.
I got a nail hole in my skull again.
Hey, boy, I got a hammer. I need to get this motherfucker out, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I love your stories, Adam.
I've got a lot of weird fucking stories. I mean, like, that's the one
epic.
My fucked up life.
Oh, you're one of our favorite guests, Adam. Your stories are so good.
Not as good as Bigfoot one will be, though.
Oh, the Bigfoot story. One day.
Dude, one day.
Yeah.
One day Pappy will write chapter one and kick this whole thing off.
Chapter one, the fuckening.
Possessed by Bigfoot's dick.
This all started because we were talking about that lady who writes like fucking...
Yeah, exactly.
Pterodactyl, right?
Cause, Joe was talking because, what was it? I think Joe and I were talking about Idarb getting an update. He's talking about Mike Micah. I think that's what it was.
Probably.
It's something like that. And then you're like, dude, you have to check out this episode. Yeah, wasn't it like you came back? You were going to cancel the podcast and then came back or something like that?
No, that was before we ended it.
Okay.
Or wait, when
something,
was that?
Something like that.
Was that the final episode that we talked about?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It was the final episode.
Hey, so what was the deal with that? How come you're doing this still? Like, I don't think I've been
here. How come you're still here?
Well,
why the fuck?
We stopped the show because Chris, he was going to focus on getting a job and, you know, focusing on life and his fiance and everything else. And like 2 months later, she left him.
Oh. I didn't know that. Fuck.
Yeah, so I came to his place to just, like, hang out, play some rock band, and keep company, and just... I didn't see him for, like, 2 months since I wasn't going up to record with him anymore, and when I was up there, I was like, hey, man, I'm here. Do you want to, like, record an episode just for old time's sake? And we recorded one, and then we just started doing it again, and I actually moved into the apartment above him. Like, when I went to visit him, he was saying, yeah, the place above me is open. And I ended up moving up there. Ashley and I are up here now above his old place. He actually had to leave because he got that place with his fiance and he couldn't really afford it by himself anymore. So he's actually living in our spare room.
Oh,
he moves around so much that, it's smart.
He's a musician. That's what he does.
He was actually on like the first half hour of this show because he has a concert that he's performing tonight. That's why he's not here right now. But he is still doing the show with us when he can. But
he only appears when I'm here. And he only appears in half minute bursts.
But
half an hour. I need to learn English.
But yeah, we just started doing the episodes again, and then in the fall, we started to get a little more serious about the show, and we're like doing lots of developer interviews and game reviews on the show. That's actually Dan Rambo. He hooked us up with Laser Life for the show. What the hell else did he hook us up with?
Fucking Laser Life, so good.
It was so fucking funny. Dan messaged me like, I don't know, maybe about a month ago or something. He's like, Who the fuck is Joe Cam? I'm trying to figure out who this guy is. He wants some codes or something. Am I supposed to give him codes? I'm like, give him codes. He's a friend of mine.
I tried hitting him up about the bit trip, and I never heard back. So I don't know if he's been busy or what's going on.
Oh, dude. Yeah. The office has been insane for the last couple of months. So anytime you need anything, just ask me, and I will ask him.
I want Dant to come on the show with you sometime.
Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, dude, Dant is one of the funniest motherfuckers you will ever meet.
But like, yeah, let's get something set up where the two of you awesome. Come on together.
Yeah, no problem. That's
and awesome. Then and then you could leave work on time.
Yeah, right?
I'm just sorry, over here a little totally sad that the entire story of the resurrection of the show and I wasn't involved at all.
Not really. Pappy wasn't even on like the first five episodes that we came back because he's like, oh, well, I'm busy. I'm doing this. And I have this thing going on.
Oh, we're back.
Well, what time was that, Joe?
I don't remember.
I think that was when I was in rehab.
Possibly. I mean, the return of the show wasn't really a planned thing. It just kind of happened.
No, yeah, it wasn't until 2015, like, say what, like late spring of last year that I really became that every week co-host.
But, well, you kind of became our third guy near around episode 100 was when we made you the official third guy.
Yeah.
And then we joked that 10 episodes later, you killed the show.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And now I stream things for the show, and I do things, and I play games.
I love how I met you guys. You guys were on my Super Mega Baseball stream, and you kept talking about the podcast. And, like, you guys, Joe, you seemed cool and stuff, but normally, like, obviously, you know, pretty much every streamer is like, don't plug your shit on my channel.
For some reason, you let cool. me. You were cool
with
it.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm like, this guy seems cool. Like, I'll roll with it, you know? And I go figure...
And then we interviewed the guys from Super Mega Baseball.
Man.
Yeah. I'm still trying to get Joe to not plug his shit on my channel.
They actually watched They actually watched some of that stream, some of the guys.
Nice.
I emailed them when I did my like big ass giveaway at the end of the year. I gave away a code for that game. And then I sent them the highlight of the Joe Camnet special when I would thank followers by beating the batter.
That was so funny.
Which is still
funny.
One of my favorite Twitch moments ever.
That really was good. And you got so many followers that night, too.
Yeah, I think I was winning like 20-2 or some shit, and I almost lost the game.
Because you were beating so many people.
Fucking hell, dude. It was awesome. But when they sent me the code, I replied like, thank you, and na-na-na. And I was like, by the way, this might give you guys a laugh. And I sent them the highlight of Joe Camnet special. They're like, yeah, we were actually watching the stream and it gave us we got a kick out of that. I was like, oh shit, that's awesome.
I wonder if they put the two and two together that was my show that they came on.
I hope so. Well, actually, you mentioned it on that show. You said like one of our friends just blocked us through the game and he almost lost the game and so.
Yeah, I wonder if like they knew before they came on that the Joe Cam special was me.
Oh man.
It's just
you are the Joe Cam special.
You are the Joe Cam?
I am the Joe Cam. But yeah, hey, our show has gotten significantly more serious and like our listenership hasn't exploded, but developers are actually like knowing us sometimes.
Yeah. Joe, like, Joe's on point.
There's other developers. I got a little jealous. I was like, wait a minute. Look at these guys.
Yeah. Joe's under.
Adam, you'll always be our best bitch. You'll always be our best bitch.
Bottom bitch.
Our listenership is growing really, really strong, which is great because we're seeing an actual percentage increase over time.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Things are definitely going up for us. Like, we even got business cards.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I should get your address and mail you one so you could see we've become.
Yeah, you even have your own Moobot command in my channel.
I do. I have a Moobot command in your channel because I'm special.
Pappy does too. Pappy, FYI, if ever you come into my channel, you type !SML. It says to follow you guys on Twitter.
Oh, sweet. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
I was assuming that if I did something, it would just automatically boot me from the channel.
Yeah.
You should put Pappy one that's says, like !! Pappy, and when someone enters it, it just says Pappy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, it, no, it just automatically bans them.
That'd be amazing.
Pappy has been banned for four. No, if they type it in, it and just says Pappy has been banned for 4 hours or something like that.
It sends Twitch a complaint about the account.
It doesn't ban the person who typed it. It just bans Pappy again.
Well, at least if I get auto banned enough, then maybe Joe won't bother me to stream anymore because, you know, I won't be allowed to log on.
Nice.
You don't even have your own streaming channel, Pappy. You should make your own.
Sent me a info for your
no,
for the
don't use your own. Do the SML, dude.
Yeah, fucking use it. I sent you the info to stream on the SML account.
What I'll do is I'll fucking stream one day like 3 a.m. wearing my Winnie the Pooh onesie.
Do it, man.
Nice.
I'll put that shit on YouTube.
Hell yeah!
You guys ever watch our fucking Choice Provision stream?
No, I didn't know you guys do a stream.
We were doing one for like 3 months or so. Then we got way too busy to keep doing it, but we'll probably start up again. I've been thinking about doing streaming myself, learning to read, play fucking Japanese.
Learning to read. Sorry.
Sorry. Japanese. There, spark plug.
Okay.
Actually, my roommate in Japan actually did that. He was learning how to read Japanese, and to accelerate, he was buying the mangas in Japanese, and he bought a Japanese GameCube. And he's like, yeah. Oh, nice. So it might take me like 20 minutes to get off the menu screen because I'm looking up a few words here and there, but it's forcing, you know, the guy to learn quickly. Nice. Or else, you know, playing RPG.
I just played Lovely Planet.
You know, I worked on Final Fantasy V fan translation, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay.
Yeah, way back in the day, I did ROM hacking. And so I worked with this kid whose IRC name was Som2Freak, Secret of Mana 2 Freak. And and so I worked on the Final Fantasy V fan translation. And we eventually, we fought about how strict the translation should be, so I stopped working on it. But so I'm playing Final Fantasy V in Japanese on my iPad with like a little swipe out dictionary on the right, and yeah, it's been very, very educational for me. Like, it works. It really does.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's awesome. I was watching. I remember when I was trying to learn Spanish with my ex, I would keep. I was doing like a Friends marathon with her, and I would put just Spanish subtitles just because I knew all the like episodes by heart.
Uh-huh.
So I had the Spanish subtitles and I would just read those, and it helps so goddamn much.
I got a friend who is bilingual, English and Spanish, and she'll slip up once in a while and forget that she's bilingual. Like, we'll be watching and she'll just be, all of a sudden she'll be like, why is this subtitle all of a sudden? I'm like, because it's in fucking Spanish, and I don't know what they're saying. So, oh, yeah, sorry.
That's funny. That's funny. Or I like when they forget that you're English. That's happened to me, where a friend will just start going on, and I'm like, yeah, my Spanish isn't that good, bro.
Yeah.
I'm like, that, oh, that my bad.
That was the worst in Japan. I tried to learn a few basic phrases, say, like, hello, thank you, please, all of that stuff. But
they assume that you speak?
Yeah, once in a while you got somebody who was just so excited. Oh, an American knows Japanese. And they just start, and it was like, no, I literally know hello, please, thank you, where's the bathroom?
Yeah. But, yeah. That's why
I was like that that episode of Family Guy.
Sorry.
You know that episode of Family Guy where Brian's
man was Brian.
And the guy's like, yeah, I only know, no, sorry, sir, I only know how to say two phrases, that one and this one. You know, that was me in Japan. It's like, no, I only know how to ask where to pee. Like,
are you serious? Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I would tell people, I would tell them, Nihongo Hanashimas, no wait, Nihongo Hanashimasin, demo, yomimas. I can't really speak Japanese, but I can read it.
I literally just would just be, they'd be like, you know, Nihong, and I was like, Skoshi.
Skoshi, yeah. Oh my god, every time I asked somebody if they spoke English, they'd say Skoshi. I'm like, you know, if I didn't speak Japanese, I'd have no idea what you just said, right?
What the fuck does Skoshi mean?
Little tiny.
Little bit, yeah.
Oh, okay.
What I learned is that almost everybody in Japan understands English to a degree.
Because most high schools teach it. Yeah, most high schools teach English.
Yeah. Nobody can speak it. They can't, like, put the sentences together, but they can understand mine.
which is why I love watching anime, because to this day, despite all those bilingual people out there, they just hire someone who doesn't know what they're saying to read English off a piece of paper.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's always just great. Scusa me, sir. I am looking for the... No, that's Chinese and racist. Never mind.
Wow, you're terrible.
Yeah, that, I was just going to say, like, yo.
You are a piece of shit.
No, usually the translations are...
I also love the... because in Japanese, they add...
Oh, fuck.
Everything ends in a vowel sound. So when they say an English word, they throw extra vowels in there. So cheeseburger is like cheesebaga.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like 90s indie music. Did you not see that joke on Family Guy? Sorry, we just mentioned Family Guy. Did you not see that when... Oh, man. I'll try to find the link and send it to you guys.
There's like 300 episodes of Family Guy. I don't remember all of them.
Did you not see that?
That's the thing. My memory is the weirdest thing. I don't remember shit. But the stuff I do remember, it's like never going to leave. It's just burnt in there.
Oh, yeah. No, I have so much musical knowledge of 90s musical acts that does me no good.
90s singer. Yeah. I found it.
Fuck.
So we're going on about 2 hours here.
Yeah.
Wow. And just like that.
It's like an hour 49.
Right. So we're pushing towards 2 hours here. What do we still got to talk about?
We still have to talk about a handful of games.
Let's get one of those up. Let's mix it.
Let's see. Well, we did an interview about Dad Beat Dads the other day, so I'm not sure if we really need to cover that too much.
It's a lot of fun.
I want to play it.
It comes out tomorrow. Local beat 'em up. Listen to our episode where we interviewed.
Yeah, it's a good episode. Ted. It's fun. My only thing would say, if you don't have someone to play with in your house, I put it off. Because it's a lot of fun, but it's a lot more fun with other people. It is local. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
or if you're an achievement whore like Shiz.
Yeah, I'm getting it tomorrow. Yeah. For reasons.
Let's see. Living Dungeon, we're going to be doing an interview about that, I think, next week.
Is that the 15th where I got to stay up till midnight?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to play more of that game this week, get a better feel.
Yeah, I got to fire that up, too. They hooked me up with a second code so I could check out that game. Do you have any impressions?
That game is unforgiving, though. You can die during the tutorial. Like it's
it's Dark Souls.
It's turn-based fuck you dungeon, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that one was developed and published by Radiation Burn, released on the 29th for $15. It might still be on sale for $11.99, so if it is, Pappy, would you recommend people check it out?
If you like turn-based strategy, then yes.
You just said all the words that give me a boner.
You're good to go, sir. Like, pick it up. It's worth the $15.
Like, I barely heard that, but it was enough to make
me... I gave a boner. That's what I got.
Yeah. At least now we know what he's stirring his food with.
Yeah.
Oh, God damn it.
I always stir with my boner.
Time to test the noodles with my noodle.
Boner stir.
Next game we
can... Oh, man, that needs to be a band name, Boner Stir.
Boner Stir.
That's a punk band.
A punk band, yeah.
Hell yeah.
Crinkle like Crusher, developed and published by Elusis Interactive Graphics, releases tomorrow, the 5th, for $9.99. It's like a mobile tower defense-ish kind of game.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of. And it is stupidly addictive. Like, oh my God, Potato, you've been so good about not climbing on the desk today. Annoying cats.
Love his name, Potato.
Yeah. With Crinkle Crusher, you can easily tell that it was originally touch-controlled. Based on how you scroll up and down, you have to move your little hand around to put down either fire traps or like shoot wind blasts, ice, whatever, lightning bolts, mud pits. Enemies start at the top and come towards your castle that's at the bottom, and you have to use your different abilities to kill the enemies before they hit the castle. Based on how many enemies you kill in a row, your multiplier goes up, gives you higher scores. You try to earn 3 stars on the level to unlock a diamond that you use to power up your abilities. So the better you're doing in the game, the better you can continue to do by upgrading your skills and abilities. And as I said, it is ridiculously addictive. I originally like sat down like, well, I should try this game out real quick. I could put more time into it later, but I just want to fire it up and see what it's like. And I think I played 2 hours before I was like, oh my God, I need to stop.
Nice.
It is.
I'm going to play it tomorrow.
It is stupid amounts of fun. I
played a bit of the tutorial and it looked fun, but I didn't know it was going to be that good.
Yeah,
now I'm excited.
It's a lot of fun. I had a blast with it. It's colorful. It's bright. Some of the earlier stages might give you some trouble until you can start upgrading your abilities. I think you have to beat the first. You need so many diamonds before you can unlock the mage's tower that lets you unlock upgrades. So okay. It's you can't just start upgrading right away. You have to kind of struggle for a little bit and get the hang of things. But once you start upgrading, you could go back and just destroy earlier levels.
What's the game called again?
Crinkle Crusher.
Huh.
With a K, because that's
yeah,
how
that
they
makes
do
sense.
It.
I saw one of my buddies. Granted, he's an absolute monster achievement hunter, but I saw that in like 5 hours he got 910 of the 1,000 gamer score.
Wow.
So I figured it would be that, judging by the achievement list, I figured it'd be that where you start off a little bit tough, and then once you upgrade, you just wreck shop.
Yeah, you definitely can. It's tons of fun, cool. Though. I had a lot more fun than I was expecting out of it.
Nice. Yeah, I'm excited to play it. I just, like I said, I only give it like a spin for maybe half an hour just because I didn't have time. I was like, let me just get a feel for it before I stream it on Friday type thing. But it definitely seems cool. I'm excited. That and Dad Beat Dads, I'm curious to see if I enjoy it.
Yeah, I would put Crinkle Crusher above Dad Beat Dads just because you need friends to play Dad Beat Dads with. Well, you don't need them. It just makes it more fun.
It's a lot more. It's a totally different game.
I mean, the bots are serviceable, but nothing beats having a room full of friends playing a game.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Whipping
like,
each other with babies.
Anything like that that's like a couch fighting game. Like Smash Bros. Is, I don't know, one of my favorite games of all time with friends. But then, you know, play with bots and then after 10 minutes, I'm done.
Yeah.
Totally.
Crinkle Crusher, hella fun.
There was Clash.
Good
Clash
times.
Clash should have used some bots and it would have been fun. But obviously, it doesn't compare.
Yeah.
To, yeah.
Last game to discuss this week is Cobalt, developed by Oxeye Games, published by Mojang and Microsoft Studios, released on the 2nd for $20.
Oh, shit. It finally came out.
Yeah.
Wow.
Huh. You were getting so much harder to hear, Adam.
Sorry, I said no shit. It finally came out, huh?
Yeah. Yep,
that
it came
just
out
does
this
not
week.
Want to stream for some reason, man. It's awesome.
The game is incredible so far. I kind of want to compare it to a Metroidvania shooter, but it's all level based and there's not so much backtracking. It just this 2D action platformer shooter. It's like 40 genres rolled into one. RPG elements, collecting things, finding secrets. The one knock I have on it so far is the controls are overwhelming. I thought they were. Like, if you don't... Pappy can speak on this.
The controls were the only problem I didn't have with the game.
Well, it's just there's so many different commands for the game.
The only thing that I had problems with is that the tutorial, if you even want to call it that, is like when I had to hack something for the first time, it didn't say how. It was just like the tutorial is basically, you need to hack this. All right, thanks for the fucking tips, man.
For me, once you figured out the controls, it was kind of easy because right, left, fire, and then your keys, your X, Y, B, A was pretty much choose your weapon. Like X to go to gun, Y to go to punch, and B to go to grenade, and that was that.
I'm talking like the bumpers and the triggers.
Yeah, no, it took a minute to get used to. I didn't feel overwhelmed by it, but it was so different. I think what it was is it was so different.
What the bumpers do again? I know the triggers, but I don't remember what the bumpers do.
I think they were for like the dodging and like the slow-mo rolls and shit like that.
Well, left bumper was to bro fist. You just fist bumped your... Yeah, you fist bump your opponent real quick before you fight him. Yeah.
That's fucking funny. Yeah, no, but I know left trigger was roll, right trigger was shoot. I don't know. I had no problems with the controls. The one thing I did have a problem was I played the game for, yeah, there was that. But I played for, I don't know, I want to say like half an hour, 45 minutes, just because like I woke up early before work. And again, I was like, okay, I'll save it for when I stream it. And fucking,
it's
played
a haunted
for half
house
an hour
over
an hour.
Adams right now.
Yeah. Someone's behind him and they're about to kill him.
Yeah. I love that you guys can hear the oven opening, but not me.
I don't know what they're talking about. I hear you fine.
Oh, good, good.
Well, you were breaking up a couple times, so that I don't know if that was my end or something.
I probably should have used my laptop instead of my iPad, but, you know.
Stupid, terrible Adam.
I am the worst.
Stupid, terrible Adam. God damn, get wrecked.
Well, that's a throwback to when he said stupid, terrible Bob for Bob Baffy.
Nice.
Oh, I didn't even realize I'd said a catchphrase. I like that.
You talk so much shit to Bob Baffy that you forget what you say to him.
Oh man, I wish he would have been on tonight. Like
he messaged me like 20 minutes before you did that he was home and available to play or to join the call, but I didn't have my iPad screen on, so I didn't see it. I had Twitter open on my computer waiting for him to message me, and I've messaged him since then and I haven't heard back. So
yeah, because after 30 minutes he just went fuck you and went and had fun with his
fuck
life.
Fuck you, Joe. Fuck you,
probably
Pappy.
Fuck me. Wait, seriously,
fuck all y'all.
But yeah. I think
say,
Cobalt,
yeah, the only problem I had with Cobalt was that I played it half an hour and I quit out to the main menu and I lost all my progress.
Oh, that's shitty.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there's a manual save or I just didn't go far enough. If that's the case, then the checkpoint system is fucking pure anus because I don't want to have to play 17 hours before I can get a save. But other than that, I had a lot of fun with it. I want to play more.
I know Pappy didn't even realize there was a tutorial in the game at first.
No, I saw the tutorial and I went, yeah, fuck it, I'm good. And then I played it and somehow during my gameplay, I forgot that the tutorial was an option. It's not that I never saw. It's not that I never knew. It's that I literally went, oh, no, I don't need the tutorial. And then when I'm talking to Joe a day later, I'm like, man, I could have really used a tutorial.
And I was like, you know, there is a tutorial.
I assume I did it because it was saying,
I wish I had to do this. Lockpicking was a bitch, but when I got to that musical lockpicking, that's when I had to stop. So I'm like, after like 10 minutes on that, I'm like, I have no idea what I'm doing.
I had zero problems with that one.
I got the idea, but I kept mimicking the pattern. It didn't work. So it's like, and I saw Maka too. He had trouble
with it.
So
exactly
it's
the fucking same. And I'm like, and it wouldn't open. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was just a bitch. But the safe was even worse. It just was spinning around until it opens. Unlocking a safe in that game is like when you're a virgin, you got to just figure it out. Just like wiggle it around until it works.
Well, I eventually figured out how the safe cracking worked in there. When you're turning it in certain directions, you'll notice that it pops bigger on certain notches. I actually asked them about it. I said, only thing I had a problem with was safe cracking, but I didn't do the advanced tutorial, so maybe it was covered there. They replied back, said the safe cracking minigame is unfortunately not covered in the tutorial. A lot of people have had problems with that, but Daniel Brynolf, a.k.a. The Wreck, insisted on keeping it the way it is. It's a sound puzzle, and you need to alternate tuning it left and right and releasing at the correct time. If it does a strip when you release, it means you missed the mark and the puzzle has reset.
Ah, so it's a fuck you.
Cool.
Basically, I told them that they might want to have some kind of tutorial with some of the lockpicks. Yeah. I mentioned that Pappy wasn't a fan of the audio one, the frequency lock, but I like that one. I had zero problems with the frequency lock.
It was clever. I didn't hate it and like, fuck this thing. It was clever. I got frustrated because I couldn't, like you said, I matched the tune, or I thought I did, and it still wouldn't open.
Yeah, so, I had zero problems with that one.
Fucking thing. I figured it out, but it didn't explain anything. So
yeah, they could have done a little more with the explaining the locks, at least the first time you do them, because there's so many different lock styles in the game, which it keeps it unique in that there's a bunch of different ones, but
It's a big. There's a lot of stuff in that game for something you think is a simple little 2D side scroll.
Yeah,
right?
It has a gigantic campaign. It has an arcade mode, which is completely different stylistically from the actual campaign, where the campaign you're trying to like go through it more slowly and methodically, lining up your shots, taking your time, mm-hmm. reflecting things. In an arcade mode, it's just insane, fast paced, shoot, dodge, reflect attacks, nice. Everything. The whole time slowing aspect is really cool, although it could backfire on you. Some of the videos they showed online is that someone would use the dodge roll to like hit something and slow down time, and then they would fire a bunch of bullets at them because the other person isn't slowed down. And they would fire a bunch of bullets into the little time slowed area. And when the time went back to normal, it was just 50 bullets hit you at once.
Oof. Okay.
It's really cool how they did the time slowing in localized areas while everything else was still the same speed. It's
relativity in a video game. I wanted to do that forever.
And do that in Max Payne 3 multiplayer?
And you want to know what's really awesome about Cobalt? It's on the Xbox One, Adam.
Yeah, motherfucker.
God, Adam. So angry, Joe.
You're just obsessed with this Xbox One thing. Why don't you just join the rest of us with the PlayStations?
I have a PlayStations. It's just PlayStations try to set my house on fire.
It's funny because I don't have a PlayStation, and I'm less bothered by the games not being on the Xbox One than Joe.
Do you have a Wii or a 3DS?
No, I have a Steam account and an Xbox. Yeah.
I had a DS.
Steam and all that Steam shit. As soon as it comes out on the 3DS and the Wii U.
Almost everything comes to Steam. It's almost the and, coming to PlayStation and Steam, coming to Xbox and Steam. Coming to fucking Virtual Boy and Steam.
It's actually a huge problem. There's too much shit on Steam. There's no way to make any fucking money on there anymore because like you have to compete with every fucking college kid's piece of shit little video.
I honestly feel like Steam is where if you're making a new game, you release it on Steam and try and get it popular on Twitch. That's your route.
Yes, that's exactly what you have to do now. It's really aggravating when you've been doing this for 16 years and you're like, well, I'll call up my friends in the press and they'll let the people know about the video game. Nope. You gotta fucking call up 700 Twitch streamers.
or just one shiz.
Yeah, or one shiz. Shiz, how many viewers you got?
Viewers or followers? Followers, I got just hit 1,500.
Ooh, I'm going to send you codes for everything from this day forth until the end of time.
Oh, SML podcast, making things happen.
Well, yep. Shiz, you only stream on Xbox, right?
Yeah, but I mean...
All right, well...
I could make some exceptions.
Do you have a PlayStation?
No, but I do have a PC.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
The only reason, like, I want to stream PC games is just that Twitch is so superior streaming from a PC that I don't want to do a good PC stream and then be like, all right, let's go back to the basic.
So you're literally afraid bare bones. Of PC success. Like, what if everyone's subscribing?
No, it's just because like until I get my capture card and everything could be how I want it, I don't want to, you know, do a PC stream here and there and then I go back to Xbox and I'm like, ugh, this is just fucking so bare bones.
Yeah, that's the funny thing because, you know, I'm just doing the amateur streaming, you know, once or twice a week, but I'm looking at it and it's like, yeah, if I wanted to do this seriously, I would have to invest a couple $100 right off the bat. Like, really comfortable headphones, a great mic, a comfortable chair, a fucking capture card, an actual PC, not my laptop, you know, like... Knowing me the way I want to be prepared for everything, I'd probably have to drop like $2,000 just to start.
Yeah.
I'm happy just streaming on Xbox.
Like, I'm happy because I get to do what I want to do, but I just, you know, now it's gotten to the point where I can't stand that I'm so limited.
When I go into stuff, I tend to jump in whole hog, so I'd be like, oh yeah, let me learn how to
edit.
That's
what I wanted to do, it's just it's fucking expensive, you know?
Yeah. And time consuming. If you're gonna start, like, if you're gonna start Twitch streaming, yeah. And oh, I'm gonna edit my own videos for YouTube best ofs, dude, you can't just edit it in 20 minutes. You know, you gotta watch it, rewatch it.
That's why I do not sleep.
And then some of the better guys, you know, they're throwing animations and sound effects and shit mm-hmm. into parts, you know.
Mm-hmm. See, I don't care about that. I don't know. Like, I'd rather just watch someone play a game instead of having, like, subscriber flashing notices in the middle of the screen. And
the guys I was watching yesterday, you know, like I said, it's a group of guys. I was watching, it was Vanoss Gaming, and four of them were playing Black Ops. One of their other buddies who wasn't there, they're doing all the Easter eggs in Zombies. So at one point, they come to this big computer. They're like, oh, hey, this is Wildcat's Twitch streaming setup. You know, they're joking about the guy there. And then they're like, yeah, here's the Easter egg. If you shoot it, you hear Wildcat. So, you know, someone shoots it and the guy edited it in the video of, you know, the guy who's not there, like, laughing and be like, ah, fuck you guys, you know, that kind of stuff. So what I'm talking about, like, you can make it fun and make it a part of the stream and make it entertaining. But there was actual video and sound effects editing going on in there.
I don't want anything too crazy. I just want, like, let's say when somebody follows, I like that Moobot shows it in the chat. I just want it to pop up on the screen because obviously stuff like that, you know, a follow, a donation – if it's on the screen, it's more interactive.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you like, if you give me $10 and I just say, hey, Pappy, thank you for the $10, it's different than if you actually see it pop up and everybody sees it. Like, oh, man, Pappy, what a cool motherfucker. You know what I mean?
That's also sociological. If people are seeing donations coming in, they're also going to be more
that
like...
That, too. It's yeah.
Speaking of, if anybody wants to donate $20 to me so I could pick up Unravel on the Xbox One...
Because all these free games aren't enough.
Now accepting donations for Unravel.
That's what I said yesterday. Randall was doing a guest stream on the Hidden Levels. I was like, yo, make sure to follow Randall and the Hidden Levels and make sure to donate Lambos. Because if Randall can get to GameSpot faster, he'll hit that million gamer score even faster.
Donate a Lambo.
I mean? Like, and one thing, too, is like, let's say now, you know how I've been streaming the fuck out of Binding of Isaac trying to get my 100%.
Yeah.
If I get, like, when I get my achievements, it's going to be me going, oh man, I got my achievement. Whereas if I have a capture card, you're going to see it pop. And, you know, the two people that give a fuck about achievements, it's still more enjoyable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because you're seeing, because it almost gives you that they're in the living room watching you play experience.
Yeah. And just, I don't know. If I'm switching games, I have to stop the stream, start a new one, in which case the impatient people leave. The whole shit, like,
yeah, oh, that was funny as hell. When I was running through the Bug Butcher yesterday, we had, you know, again, I'm just doing small part time just for fun. So we had like 8 viewers, and the moment I died, it dropped to 5. Just like, oh, this fucking scrub, like,
instantly.
Died, we're done. Like, holy shit, man! Like,
instantly,
I died the first time in 20 minutes. Like, come on, guys.
And it's even like sometimes I'll literally be live again in like 30 fucking seconds. I literally closed the game. I stopped the stream, opened a new game, and go, and I've lost some people. I'm like, motherfucker, you are impatient.
Yeah. That's what,
like,
Twitch
I get it if it's like a random that's like lurking and stuff. Cool, that makes sense. But when it's somebody that's actually like been in chat and then you're gone for 30 seconds and they fuck off, I'm just like, okay.
Well, maybe they weren't paying attention when you said, I'll be right back. And they're just like, oh, I guess he's done.
Or like if the game crashes, you know, like the other day I streamed Isaac for 4.5 hours and at 4 hours it crashed and I came back for 30 minutes. If the game crashes and I'm going through a capture card, all I do is, like, it shows you my dashboard and I reload the game. The stream is still live. Like, it's just, I love the app, obviously, because it lets me do what I love doing, right? And, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you if it wasn't for the app. But it's just, I hate being so fucking limited when there's, I don't know. I hate being, like, held back by stupid shit, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So, Joe, any more games to cover?
No, that's...
Dude, this fucking, what was it, Bike Mayhem 2 that we just found out comes out tomorrow, so far it looks pretty damn fun.
Yeah, what are your initial impressions there since you played for, what, a good half an hour at the beginning?
No, I played for about 5 minutes, and I started 3 levels because I'm the best at every game ever made.
Okay, so that's a little unfair because you're great at games, so...
Yeah.
For the normal people,
honestly, it felt more like Pumped BMX than Trials, because you said how it'd be Trials, and it's actually funny because you're on a bicycle, not a motocross or anything. But it's $7. The achievement list does look grindy, though. You're gonna have to get all the 3 stars. You're gonna have to do the stuff online and all that. But so far it looks pretty cool. It's like Pump DMX. If you press A, you jump higher, and then if you hold B in the air, you come down with more speed. So you gotta, you know, I'm sure in future levels you're gonna have to land smooth to gain more speed, to get more air, to do a better trick, and so on and so forth, because you can do tricks for points. And I think the 3 stars are gonna event, like, now they're just time. I'm assuming they're eventually gonna be score also.
Yeah.
I'm excited, like, because, you know, I got email confirmation that Marvel Puzzle Quest is coming out tomorrow for Xbox One.
That's dope.
There you go.
So we can confirm that live on the show.
We did it. That's awesome.
We're going at like 2 hours and 15 minutes here, so I guess we could start wrapping things up. I'm not sure.
I'm ready to go to bed, man. Fucking long ass week.
Dude, it's 7:30.
30 for me.
Pick a number between 3 and 5. That's how many hours of sleep I've gotten every night this week.
Same, and last week.
Yeah,
I want to die.
Eventually it catches up to you after night 5. Mm-hmm. Like, Joe even messaged me. I'm fucking watching Azumanga Dao at 3:30 in the fucking morning in Sunday. Joe's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing up this late? I don't know. I can't sleep.
I think it was 2:30 when I messaged you, because it was like 5 for me.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, oh yeah, you're up at 5 in the morning, so you'll be going to bed in an hour. Yeah, no,
yay,
that's
for not having a schedule.
I mean, I got reasons for why I'm having a hard time sleeping, but I ain't gonna cover that on the show.
There really is something important that needs to be addressed, though. Adam, how's your garlic bread?
Dude, the garlic bread's fucking good. I've been eating it and dipping it in the spaghetti sauce this whole time.
Nice. That's the only way to do it.
My garlic bread game is fucking strong, you guys.
So do you just, do you make it yourself, or just buy the garlic butter spread and just pop that on?
Dude, I make it myself. I don't fuck around.
All right, mail me some garlic bread. I'll mail you some business cards.
Whoa. Wait, did you say you'll mail me some business
cards? I was my new favorite person ever for saying my garlic game is fucking
business
strong.
Card. Business cards isn't good as biscuits. Mail me some biscuits and business cards. I will send you some fucking garlic bread.
There we go. And it's got to be, and we're talking UK biscuits, right? Not like fucking like country fried biscuits stuff.
Maybe we could ship you some chocolate chip cookies.
Ooh, yeah.
And you could give Mike some
Dale,
as well.
You know what Dale's interests in food are like. I like food just as much as that.
That's
guy.
Not fair, though, because Dale judges food.
Okay, yeah, no, I love all food. I will eat fucking Taco Bell and be very happy.
There we go. Yeah, Dale's but, like, I mean, I'm teasing the guy. I'm going to see him in 2 weeks. So, you know, I'll even tell him I'm teasing him. But, yeah, he's the kind of guy who will be like, oh, you're having Taco Bell? Well, I'm going to go to this Yelp reviewed 10-star restaurant where the food is made by a one sole Indonesian woman who's been cooking for 75 years. Yeah. And she does everything by hand because she's been blind for a decade.
That's like the one MagFest where I was going to go to Cece's for pizza, since we don't have one around here, and there was one down by MagFest. And I was just going around asking people if they wanted to go, and I was like, hey, Dale, do you want to go to Cece's Pizza with us to grab food? He's like, what, Feces Pizza?
He's said, though, he's calmed down a little bit from that judgmentalness, but he still prefers, like, if he's going to go eat out, it's going to be an event.
Well, no, because I was like, well, I know it's not the greatest pizza, but, you know, it's cheap and it's decent. And he's like, no, man, it's fucking terrible, but I love it. it's good. It's terrible, but it's good.
Which is true. No, that's
and then
really
he went
best.
With us. So.
That's the best advertisement for Cece's, actually. This is terrible, but I love it.
Yeah, it's not good pizza, but it's good pizza.
And depending on what you get put on it, it's not even pizza anymore.
Reminds me of this podcast I heard about.
It's not good, but you're going to love it. Yeah, no, I can't wait to see Dale. I can't wait to hang out with him. And
our show's fucking terrible, but it's pretty good.
I haven't seen the guy in like, what,
fucking 8 months? Pretty good for terribleness.
I mean, shit, I'm thinking about calling him up, seeing if he wants to get lunch tomorrow now after all this talking about him.
Oh, you can let him know. One of our friends is planning on bringing like a fucking 20-pound or 10-pound peanut butter cup. It's gonna be
Jesus Christ.
It's gonna be in the room that Dale's crashing in. So,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, because she's a baker.
I should be in that room too. Is what?
Yeah,
you're
she's a baker, and she was like, "I've got like 30 pounds of chocolate left from the holiday rush, so I'm just gonna make a giant fucking peanut butter cup and bring it. Can I put it in your room?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes, you can."
Adam, you still have that's 2 weeks awesome. To make MAGFest happen.
So. Yeah, how much do you think a cross country plane ticket costs this time?
I don't know. Ask Dale.
Yeah, last minute probably $700.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. I booked mine 6 months ago for like $300, so.
Just Greyhound it.
Oh, God. Yeah, he'd have to leave now.
Nice.
Just fly over with Dale. See, when you and Dan Rambo come on, you got to get Dale as well. The three of you just come on together.
I don't think Dan have ever met each other, but that is a thing that we could try to get to happen.
And then you could harass Mike to come on, even though he's insanely busy.
At this point, Joe, you and I wouldn't even have to talk. We'd just be introduce them and sit back.
Dude, I barely talked this episode.
Good.
Because Pappy doesn't know when to shut up anymore. He's like, I'm going to make this my show.
Yeah. What nice. Fuck episode? You show me the comparisons between the one episode where I was like 10%, and then the next episode I was like 80% of the fucking talking between
me
and
Joe. That was fucking
hilarious. Well, that's not just you. That's Skype in general.
That was funny because when Joe was editing that episode, he put that picture of the WAV files in my chat, and I was howling.
Yeah.
I think Anita Lake was watching at the same time.
Because I'll be honest. Like,
Jesus Christ.
Because between the emails and a lot of the game reviews, Joe does most of the talking. So I actually I like it when I can jump in and kind of take over from once in a while. I feel like I'm giving Joe a quick break because he's always giving shit like, Pappy, why aren't you saying more stuff?
No. Pappy has two modes. It's say nothing and say everything.
Well, I feel bad sometimes when you've got like 8 emails and you got to review 5 games and I've only played one of them, you know?
And you're just sitting in the corner masturbating.
It's the moment we get off.
That's what I was doing.
The moment this episode
must be
done,
serious.
I'm taking the pants off.
That's like, the secret ingredient in my spaghetti.
Huh?
Oysters?
No, masturbating.
Yeah, I mean, he did use his noodle to stir the noodles, so why not, while you're already in there, you know?
Semen is not the ingredient. Masturbating itself is the ingredient.
Yeah, I mean, how you get the semen out changes the flavor.
Exactly. It's a whole process.
I'm so glad you were able to make it on, Adam.
I love you guys. I'm so happy to do
it. It's been too long since we've had you on.
I know. I'm sorry I was so late, man. Like, I forgot all about it. So, like,
hey, that's Adam, are you going to be on tonight?
Oh,
he's like,
shit,
oh.
I got to do this thing.
He was, let me see if I could pull up Facebook because his answer was amazing. When I just.
You do it, you got money?
It was like 10 to 8 my time. And I was like, hey, he's still coming on tonight because Bob was saying he was going to be late and then things just fell apart because I wasn't paying attention to Skype. Here's Adam. Loading. Come on, Facebook. Chop, chop, and stick your bullshit. Mr. Rippin, were you still joining us tonight? Oh, fuck. That's tonight? What time? 10 minutes. Fuck. And then an I said, it's all good. I know Bob is running late, and I never heard from Mike, so no worries. He said, I can start running home as fast as I humanly can. Shit, I wish I remembered earlier. I would have gone home earlier. I could do it in like 90 minutes, but it takes forever to get home.
That's amazing.
I work in San Francisco. I live in Oakland, and I walk every day.
And then an hour later, he's like, almost home. Got to pick up whiskey first.
My wife demanded that I have whiskey when she gets home tonight.
Fine.
And then I forgot that I didn't actually have Adam on my Skype list because when he called in the other times, either Chris was doing it or Pappy was doing it.
And Mike Micah was the one who was doing the actual connections.
Yeah, all the other times. Good That's times. Funny. Good times.
Well, everything worked out great.
Well, we are creeping ever closer to 2.5 hours, so I'm not sure what music to play this week. I'll find something and play it. Maybe we'll just play some Dragon Fantasy music.
Fuck yeah, Dragon Fantasy music.
Or ooh, yeah. Can you get us music for Laser Life?
I can't write this second, but
or
I
do I have it for Laser Life already? I don't know if I do.
To figure out.
Hey, you know, in a couple of weeks, Dragon Fantasy, God willing, if the 3DS and Wii U versions pass lot check this time, Dragon Fantasy will be coming out on 3DS and Wii U pretty soon. So we should do the show again when it, you know, like a week before it comes out, and I will make sure to get you some Laser Life music.
I thought it was out on Wii U and 3DS.
Dragon Fantasy 1 is. Dragon Fantasy 2 is not.
I thought the Chronicles was both games.
Nope.
Huh. Nope, fuck you.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Nope, you're wrong.
Are you crazy?
I'm drunk, so.
Nice.
Everyone's wish drunk with me.
All right, so a couple weeks we'll get you back on. You'll have to let me know when it's coming so I can schedule you.
Yes.
Because believe it or not, we have bookings.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's fucked up. You should bounce.
Man, you're so rich and famous now.
Talk to me and me alone.
Well, if we bring you on, it's going to be you and Dant, right?
Yes, I will make sure Dant comes up.
Just be you.
If you're coming on for something, you know, hey, we're releasing a new game, we'll make sure to focus on you guys rather than the usual of, hey, come on and help us dick around.
Yeah, no, I like dicking around. I don't want to focus on my video games.
Have you listened to our game podcasts, our game-centric ones? I mean, we put 5 minutes aside for your games, and then we go back to the dicking around.
Aww.
Well, don't forget, Adam was one of the pioneers of coming on to talk about his game and then talk about random bullshit for the majority of the time.
No, yeah, you're right. But I feel like since you had him do that episode like 7, we've really honed our skills with the dicking around part.
We have. We have become professionals at not talking about the games we're supposed to talk about.
The fact that I'm here just makes it so true.
Yeah, we have Vector Unit coming on next week. Clapfoot might be coming on next week. We have Radiation Burn coming on the 16th. We have the guys for Gunscape coming on the 23rd.
Gunscape is fun.
We have shit scheduled, son.
You were fully booked. That's impressive.
Did you see the 1 week where we had 5 episodes in 5 days?
I don't.
Yeah, that was fucking mental.
That almost murdered Joe Cam.
That I think the last episode of the week I like barely talked because I'm like I'm fucking exhausted from talking all week.
Yeah, because you did 3 of those solo, right?
I think so.
Yeah. It's tiring to talk for hours on end. It really is.
I spent 4 years as an instructor. That shit ain't no big deal.
Yeah,
but I
spend my entire day not talking until I play games. It's
I got paid to talk 8 hours a day in front of students. I mean, nice. I got no problem with this.
Yeah, shit's getting crazy though. Shit is getting crazy.
Shit is popping off, son.
But yeah, 3-year anniversary of the SML podcast is slowly wrapping up at the 2.5-hour mark.
Slowly. So I guess the only way to end this would be for Adam to give us final words, but he's going to have to like get closer to the microphone.
Well, I am right here, motherfucker.
So Adam, you have the honors. Kick off year number 4 in style with your final words.
Oh, God. Let me think for a second. How do I kick this off proper? This is too much.
No pressure or anything.
No pressure whatsoever.
Like this is going to be a perfect end to the show of just
let us be led into this new brave world of year 4. Guided by our turgid members into that great new future of video games and bullshit and horse pornography. And not horse, fucking
Bigfoot,
yep, Bigfoot pornography. And you know what? Let's fucking do that. Let's write a story about Bigfoot having sex with people, because really, Bigfoots need love too. Bigfoots need love too.
Ain't that the truth?
Amen.